This is PFW in Progress.
Hello, I'm Robert Goulet. Da-da-dee-da-da-da-doo.
PFW in Progress.
What you get is one full hour of rip-roaring...
Fred Kirsch.
Not some dubious ruffians without the chops, but by a professionally trained voice man.
I don't think Ben Watson is a cheap tipper. I think your girlfriend probably gave...
Paul Perillo.
I don't care if he is Mr. Notorious Big. Can he croon?
Let's groove tonight.
See, I can sing it because Gary's not in there.
You get the idea. It's Snoopy, Dre, Biggie, Huffman.
And Andy.
Coolio. The whole bunch. Watch what I do with this little ditty from Mr. Cisco called the Thong Song. Are they going to sing it again? Shabang, shabop, bop, thong song.
Andy Hart.
You wouldn't hire a clown to fix a leak in the john. Yeah.
The Sheriff, Tom Casale.
You don't even blink, do you? Quick staring contest, me and you, now. You win, you always do.
And you never know who else might stop by.
Anyway, check out the CD. You'll just love it. Or my name isn't...
PFW in Progress, part of the Patriots Football Network.
All right, welcome to PFW in Progress. We are back on a Wednesday from Scottsdale, Arizona, Super Bowl 42, continuing with our coverage down here, both on the net and on, well, this is on the net too. Even though it's radio, it's still on the net.
That was too clean. He was like two sentences in and he hadn't messed up yet.
Yeah. But here we are. Paul, Tom, Andy, Fred. Dan's back in the booth. Gary's hovering behind us. Eric's lurking around somewhere, putting up dirty pictures on the web and stuff like that. What do you mean? Who put up those Kelly Pickler pictures?
Not me.
Not you?
That was Chris Ferreira.
Chris Ferreira.
Okay.
Who would know how to do that? None of us.
You don't think Andy or I could have done that?
We got a lot to talk about. The email address is webradio@patriots.com. That's webradio@patriots.com. And guys, after Media Day, we had a kind of crazy day yesterday with the questions. Today was a little bit more back to football, would you say?
Yes.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay.
Yeah, it was here at, the Patriots were here at the Westin Kierland Resort and Spa with all the players, press conferences. You had Belichick at the podium, Moss at the podium, and then you had the players and tables in the room next door. And it was an opportunity, a little less media, and you get the opportunity, like Paul and I, to talk to some of the coaches. Eric talked to Wojcik. I talked to Casario and Sealy, some of the guys you can't talk to on a regular basis.
And you'll be reading those updates on Patriots.com later today.
Sure.
Actually,
right now.
They're already there.
Fred, we're rolling, baby.
Wow. So what are you going to do for the rest of the day?
This show.
Okay. So what else is going on?
That went better than I thought it would.
Much like Saturday, we're off after that.
When we last left everyone yesterday, you guys were on your way to where? What did you do after
dinner?
The show?
I got drunk.
You after
got
the show, drunk. We went to the media party.
You went to the media party.
Oh, Tom and I did TV first.
Yeah. I know, but I'm setting up the scene for the listeners.
Tom and I did television
which,
at the compound.
Word from the wife is that some of the worst television ever produced.
Well, I could tell. It was one camera.
In the frigid cold.
At least you got a chair. I got a little stool to sit on the edge. It was freezing. We're on scaffolding that was moving. Although that, what's that guy's name was right down the...
Oh, Russ Salzburg?
The guy who had the Mike Tyson interview?
Mike Tyson.
He was right down the
sweater
couple spots down on TV
Row. Oh, there was a whole bunch of people there?
Yeah, all the local, what do they call it, the domestic compound, where all the local TVs were set up to shoot live shots and satellite trucks. And, you know, we weren't really supposed to be in there, but everybody in Phoenix is nice, and they just let you go wherever you want.
I think you two were supposed to be in there, but Nicholas and I weren't supposed to be there.
No one stops anybody around here.
But
you just go where you want.
Very, very nice people around here.
Well, you know, when you get out of the Northeast, that's what happens.
It's amazing.
The Northeast is miserable.
It's amazing how accommodating everybody is here.
Right, right.
If they had grass, I might like it out here.
Okay. The kind you smoke? Or?
No.
Oh.
The only place I see nice green grass is at this resort. Every other front lawn is made out of little pebbles.
I know. It takes a lot of water here.
Then we went to the media party, and you just ditched out.
Yeah.
You're weird.
What do you mean?
You left on your own.
I left at,
on your own.
At quarter to 11, knowing that I had to get up early to monitor.
It wasn't
all
quarter
the
of 11, because that's when we left.
No, it was quarter to 11.
No. And you left by yourself.
I left with
David
Silverman and Keith Norton.
Boring!
Who I came with.
And just went bored.
So,
did you ride the bull?
No.
Tom was going to.
I was thinking of it, though, because I'm very good at that. No, they. So just so people know, they had the media party last night at this place called the Corona Ranch And it's a rodeo, basically, with fairgrounds and stuff. And but they converted it into this party, and they had skill stations. You know, you could lasso, and you could do a quick draw contest and things like that.
Alcohol.
They had a mechanical
That's
bowl.
Where I was.
And, of course, they had the booze.
Food and alcohol.
Keep in mind that everything Fred is mentioning, none of us saw. We were by the bar just sucking down booze.
They had a cigar stand.
It was freaking freezing out.
It wasn't that, cold.
If you were outside for a long time.
Folks that are listening, it's not that
It was 42 degrees.
It was 42 degrees. Oh, my goodness.
And we had no jackets around.
Well, I did.
Well,
I had a nice fleece.
You're special.
Fred, it's pretty cold out here.
Yeah, but compared to where we came from,
it's a dry cold.
Okay, it's not zero. It's 38.
That was funny.
In the desert, you know, that's what happens at night.
Ask anybody who lives around here if this is normal weather.
They think it's colder.
Oh, they think it's freezing.
They're talking about how cold it is.
Houston cold. Jacksonville cold. Phoenix cold.
Get out of this room a little bit. You know, interact.
Fred, I do think you need to get out of that room
I'm
a little
busy.
Bit.
Last night was the first time I was out, but before I went to the media party. The Arizona Fan Club had a little gathering at their official watering hole called The Vine, and Robert Kraft showed up with Andre Tippett and Jonathan Kraft, and let me tell you, the scene was a madhouse. You can actually watch it on Patriots.com. Brian Lowe was there with the crew from Kraft Sports Productions, and Mr. Kraft actually raffled off a couple Super Bowl tickets.
Now, that's pretty cool, because how many people were there? A couple hundred people?
Yeah.
So that's
you
a
had
pretty
like
good
a,
chance. I mean,
a 1 in 200 chance to win Super Bowl
So we gave out tickets, to raffle tickets. Everybody was there, just pulled a name from the hat. And the guy, the man and woman who won, he was from Vermont and she was from New Hampshire. So it was nice.
Pretty interesting.
Not.
No, it was.
Well, no, so, it is. Well, so you come all the way here and a guy from New Hampshire and Vermont win the
Wait, well, did they know, they live tickets. Here or they really they still
no,
live?
No, they're from there, but they live
oh,
here.
Okay. Yeah. Oh.
What was... Like, what kind of interaction? Did they get a chance to talk?
Oh,
were
yeah.
Any people, did they get to ask Mr.
No,
Kraft questions?
I mean, they were,
like that?
I mean, he walked in and he was just mobbed. And he just stood by the door and they had one of those house speakers so he could talk into that. And just signed autographs. He and Andre signed autographs, like, for 20 minutes while they were there. While
I heard they were chanting Robert Kraft and Hall of Fame.
Oh, yeah, Hall of Fame. It was wild. It was pretty cool.
How can you blog about that?
I did blog
about it. Why don't you read it?
Yeah.
Well, the only part I read was because it was because.
Because of the way the... Yeah. Anyway, so that's what I did yesterday. What else did you guys do today? Anything besides...
Well, I went to the Giants
thing. Now, you have some interesting quotes from Ruben Drones that you need to talk about.
Well, I just asked Ruben Drones because Eli Manning said that he talks to Peyton before the first time they played, and he said that the... Patriots defense isn't that complicated. They do what they do, but they do it very well, so they don't give you a lot of different looks. And I had asked Ruben Drones as I was going around the tables just what he said, and he just went off and said, yeah, I think it's true. And then he compared this Patriots team to the 2000 Ravens with this defense being the 2000 Ravens offense, saying that they're just trying not to make mistakes and let the offense do its thing. Now, you know, I guess it's true in a way. But just kind of the comparison to the – I mean, most people think that that Ravens offense was dreadful and that the defense won the Super Bowl, and I think he was just comparing it that way. But it was an interesting analogy. We put it up on the blog. And then there's also the thing about the black suits. Apparently there's a report out now that the Giants wore black suits to Arizona, all the players, and it was Antonio Pierce who had suggested it. Now there's a report out that they were wearing the black suits to mourn the death of the Patriots dynasty. And the interesting thing is I asked probably 12 players about it, and I got different responses from everybody. I mean, Kavika Mitchell basically said, yeah, you could put it that way. So he was admitting it. Some people just started, as I started asking the question, they just started laughing because they knew where it was going. So I think they knew that's the reason why they did wear it. And Dominic Hickson probably gave the best answer where he said, no comment. Then he said, if we win on Sunday, I'll tell you all about the black suits. Mm. So...
Is that
like there's some truth to the fact that that's why they wore the
Is that a good sign for them or a bad sign that they're so obsessed with, like, the Patriots and, you know?
Well, it was for team unity, too, but I think it was because, as I forgot which one said it, one of the Giants said, you know, we're going to an occasion. We're almost like we're going to a funeral, he was saying, and we wanted to be dressed for it. So I think he was kind of hinting towards a Super Bowl, but it also had a hint of funeral in there.
I like it.
You like it?
Yeah, why not?
You think that's a
good
thing?
Why would they be focused on anything else? Their focus is to derail the Patriots. 100%, that's all they have to focus on.
And that's how they have to take it. I mean, they know they need to pull an upset here. They know the better team is the Patriots. I mean, deep down inside, they're undefeated. So, I mean, no matter how confident or cocky you want to be, you understand that the other team is better than you. And you have to do – I mean, this is what you have to do. They have to – You know, the Patriots
have to wear black suits.
No, I'm saying they need to find way. They need to find things to unify and try to make sure that they all are confident that they can go in and win the game. I don't want to play. I don't want to be on a team that doesn't think it can win.
Oh, absolutely,
is my point.
And as the underdog,
I expect them to want to win.
You do things like that when you're a big underdog to try to bring.
Well, how come when the Patriots used to do that stuff, you used to laugh at them?
Because the Patriots were the favorite when they were doing
that. No, they weren't.
Like in the AFC Championship game in 2004 in Pittsburgh when they were a 2-point favorite.
You said it, you just didn't mean it.
You said we were favorites, but no one really thought we were going to win.
You make fun of the Patriots' little things that they do.
I think the things they did in 2001 were very effective.
Fred,
they were underdogs then.
One comment that I think you'll find interesting is I asked Drones if he thought Rodney Harrison was the key to the defense because how he comes up in the box and stuff. And he said, well, Harrison's a very physical player, but I would say the key player on that defense is Junior Seau.
Really?
He says he thinks that...
Giants
all,
lose.
He said he thinks all the players thrive off him, and all the things that he does on that defense is stuff that nobody else can do on the team. So I thought that was an interesting thing.
That sounds to me like the Cowboys preparing for the running game.
I do think it was interesting, though, in that AFC Championship game against San Diego, where all of a sudden, you know, not that they had terrible years, but kind of lackluster years for Seau and Brewski, and all of a sudden they're running around making plays all over the place. And you wonder if they're just looking at that finish line is right there.
Yep, they can see
it. Selling out.
Yeah, I'm going to put it all. This is it. You know, this is it. These are the last handful of plays maybe in my career, I would have to think, in Seau's. And I still strongly think that it will be Brewski as well. Mm-hmm. These are the last plays of my career. What am I going to leave? I can't leave anything
in the tank. And word from the Giants side is this is Strahan's last game as well. So.
Is that right?
Certainly, I think either side, if they win, it's got to be it for.
Well,
all
definitely,
those guys.
If Strahan comes back next year, he's definitely not going to training camp. Because if you heard what he's
done, he's been joking about it. Like I didn't want to go, and he was fine sitting on his couch and everything. So no, I would have to agree. It seems like Strahan's kind of almost he's semi-retired. He's out there.
What did Strahan say to you about Seau?
Well, someone
because Seau and Strahan are pretty tight. Yes, and they worked out a lot.
Someone had asked about them working out in the off season, and Strahan just laughed and he said, "If you consider Junior picking up a beverage working out, then I guess it was working out." He said, "Junior's a pretty laid back guy off the field, and so am I." So. He said, "I don't know if I'd call it working out, but we definitely hung out in the off season." So it sounds like they were friends during the off season and did some things together.
Sounds like they both entered semi-retirement at the same time.
All right. So what's going on today, Wednesday, later on? Do you guys have any commitments? Anything? You got to go to Radio Row, Paul?
I don't. No, I don't, Fred. I do appreciate you taking that swipe at me every chance you get, but no, I don't have any commitments.
Now, why are you so sensitive?
I'm just kidding.
All of a sudden.
No TV stuff.
Andy, you're all right over there?
Done. I think Andy
going to be
that,
part of the show today? You're just going to sit there?
Andy has that I'm running out of gas look to him, doesn't he?
Yeah, you've hit the wall.
I'm not running out of gas. I have gas building up.
Oh, boy. We just ate. All it was cheeseburger.
And I asked you, should I try the chili? And you said, yeah, and I did. And now I'm regretting it.
Come on.
It's like instant fuel
black
for you.
Bean chili.
For most people, it takes a couple hours.
That's I'm like, not most people.
That's like flammable liquid just getting injected right into one.
I guess that's a loaded question when Andy asked you, should I try the chili? I mean, the obvious answer is no, but it was good.
It was very good. Yeah, the food here is tremendous.
Yeah, I mean, you shouldn't try anything except, you know, that mash stuff that you feed babies, you know? All right.
Crickets. That one didn't go over as well.
All right. Well,
he was on fire earlier when we were eating lunch. I
dinner
swear to
was good, yeah.
What was going on?
I'm saying you were on fire with your comebacks, and Gary was saying save them for the radio.
Oh yeah.
Fred, I used
them all up.
Quiet before the storm, though, huh? Gets a little busier.
Tomorrow is when the world descends on Scottsdale and
the
Phoenix.
Families
and
come down.
All the families,
sponsors,
all the guests,
come down,
sponsors. NFL
and Tom and Andy moved to the motel down the street.
Yeah. That's all right.
And Paul, by the way.
Probably going to be quieter. Although I heard this year in this hotel, the one that the Patriots are staying at, if you don't have a room key or a credential, you can't even get on the property.
Probably.
So I'm
that's
not
good.
I'm not. Yeah. Well,
unless you're in the back of our car.
Usually the lobby becomes like
we
this.
Can get in, right?
Oh, you have a credential. Yeah.
But, you know, usually...
He shows his credential like we're on TV.
Usually the
getting this, Tom?
Usually the lobby becomes sort of a marketplace of people selling stuff, looking for tickets, that kind of thing. And apparently it's not going to happen.
They'll
yet.
Still find their way in.
Yeah, they might. They might.
They're too nice around here. They let anybody
in. I was
going to say,
I don't know, with the security around here, anybody can come in.
I decided that officially the Boston Globe must be the official newspaper of the
Patriots.
Yeah, they're all,
they've camped out in the lobby.
Evidently, the only media people allowed to be inside this hotel are Boston Globe personnel.
It's unbelievable.
Because every time I walk through the lobby, someone from the Globe is doing an interview with somebody.
Yeah. Well,
you
Jackie
are
McMullen,
bitter,
Mike
bitter
Vega,
man.
Dan Shaughnessy.
Well, they have to get ready for their 19-0 book that they're selling.
True.
You know, the Herald, by the way, I was kind of sitting in on a Herald meeting about the 19-0 book today a little bit.
Well, the Globe.
They have their own, and the Globe was like
the Globe,
a plaza.
Well, the Globe
the
fired
yesterday.
Back, yeah. This is not normal.
Well, did the Herald take shots at the Globe?
Yeah.
Why?
Because,
that's stupid.
Because
the wrong.
For releasing that book early.
Well, the Herald's wrong.
Where is all this taking place? You need to bring me up to speed.
And today's names and faces in the Globe, they shot back at the Herald.
What did the Herald say first?
That the Globe, you know, was jinxing the Patriots by releasing or promoting this book, you know, before they actually
and evidently
won.
Evidently, the Herald's doing the same thing.
The Herald has their own book.
And they didn't even know.
God bless the Herald.
Well, the Giants are using it for fuel.
That's
yeah,
what
except they got their own book.
Very patriot-like. But that's very patriot-like that they have their own book.
Put the blinders on.
Care,
right. Put the blinders on and focus on one little thing.
It's funny. Usually at this time, you know, the teams kind of fall over each other trying not to say anything even remotely controversial. This one,
yeah,
it just seems the opposite.
It
seems
a little different.
Yeah, we think we're going to win. You know, Tom Brady today... Well, geez, he said we're going to lose 23-17, maybe 45-42.
Right, he wants to lose 45-42.
We're going to put points on the board. Don't worry about
that. I will
that.
Say that.
No,
everyone's
really
everyone's saying
whatsoever.
Kind of what they feel.
You got Menino out there talking about the parade route. And,
yep.
You know.
He is?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, that's out there. It's official.
Wow, Bill not happy about
no,
that.
No, it's
rolling.
Awful.
How can we
rally.
Tell? He was happy at 8 o'clock this morning when he was all smiling at his Rutgers, his son Rutgers
lacrosse
jacket on.
Oh,
number 23.
His son goes to Rutgers.
Yep, yeah. Number 23 apparently on the Rutgers lacrosse team.
Oh,
he
cool.
said that you know, his son has been stealing his clothes for long enough, about the time he got in his closet.
There you go. That's going to happen at my house.
His son stealing his sweatshirt?
Connor's
all he
feet
wears.
Are bigger than my feet. It's unbelievable.
What?
Connor's feet are bigger than my feet.
And that comes in here how? What are you talking about?
His son stealing their father's clothes, and then father's eventually being able to wear their son's clothes.
Okay, you might have wanted to lead into that and just say, Connor's feet are big.
I got you for that.
Okay.
But he was very giddy again.
Okay?
Tony Grossi from the Cleveland
Plain Dealer
asked him a
one
question.
Of, one of his biggest adversaries,
right,
by the way,
rival.
During his time
right,
in Cleveland.
Right, right.
And he asked a question, what he learned in his time at Cleveland. And Bill said, another softball, eh, Tony? and also... we should discuss. He was discussing his time there, and he made sort of a reference on what was the exact reference, Paul? Sort of the owner or somebody meddling with his.
Yeah, he said something about, you know, I put together the team or the roster. I had some help with that, but that's for another story or so. That's for another time.
It was like
and
an
it was
aside.
Like a swipe at someone.
Yeah,
maybe,
and he had
like,
a little
maybe,
smirk, like it was
right.
a swipe.
Maybe Art Modell was meddling.
Well, was it Lombardi or what? What's who's the guy that
Mike,
was?
Was it Mike Lombardi? Oh,
yeah, wasn't he the GM Vince. Back then?
yeah, I'm not sure. But,
or did he just mean like the fans and the Kozar and that whole thing?
Yeah, I'm not. Positive.
Yeah.
I mean, Andy and I both
that
got the same impression.
That was a big deal,
right?
We both
Kozar
got the same
thing.
Impression of that he was taking a shot at somebody, but we didn't know exactly what the shot may be,
right?
Okay,
but I thought.
But it was
might
with a
been,
smile again.
Nobody right. thinks to follow and, up on this stuff, right?
Well, Fred.
I'm not saying you.
And, one of the things that got Belichick in so much hot water was when Kozar called the audible, threw the touchdown pass in the corner of the end zone, and then Belichick got mad, yelled at him. I believe he pulled him from the game for calling the audible. And that was the big thing that he threw a touchdown pass, but Belichick was mad that he audibled out of what he wanted to do, and then that kind of got the fans against him because Kozar was such a guy.
Oh yeah,
he's also when he said we couldn't run the ball the length of my today.
Right.
He said a lot of things that got him in hot water.
But
at
I
that
did
time.
Think it was interesting. Like a lot of the things that we say, that, you know, because people ask us all the time, why is he so much better now, and what's different about now? And he talked about some of the things that we all, you know, we always kind of, you know, about delegating more. Responsibility to his assistants and just an overall better understanding of the salary cap and the ways to make that work better for you.
You mentioned Mo Lewis?
Didn't mention Mo Lewis, didn't mention Tom Brady.
And for the third straight day, he did mention that Wes Welker was good against the Patriots when in Miami, and they had to double-team him, and even that didn't work, and he even kicked off against him.
I don't understand. Someone asked a Wes Welker question?
Yeah, every freaking day.
And you know, the amazing part about the question is it's almost always asked with the same exact phrasing.
Yep. Yes.
You know, what was it about Wes Welker in Miami that attracted to you to him?
People should be required to read the transcripts.
No question.
You know,
at least one in the last month.
I'm thinking of asking about Wes Welker. Has there anybody asked these questions before? Yes, here it is. You don't have to ask it. Ask something
else. But they don't.
Plus, most of these people that come down here to cover the press conferences are here all week.
Yeah.
And they're at all of these press conferences.
But they decide. It's like they have blinders on only for what they did that day. And then the next day,
exactly.
Well, I'm doing Welker today, so I'm going to ask.
Right.
Well,
use
yesterday.
Idiot.
I thought another interesting, in Randy Moss's press conference, somebody who I'm guessing had some sort of ties to the Green Bay area asked about, you know, the possibility of him going to Green Bay. Did Brett talk to him about wanting to get him there? And he said Brett did try to contact him, but he wasn't available or able to make that connection. And when he was talking with the Packers, they were talking too much about the wrong things, and he hung up on them.
Really?
And basically the wrong things were, Donald Driver's our number one receiver. If you come in here, you can't step on his toes.
Oh, is that right?
So Randy Moss wanted to go where there was a good quarterback, and he'd be the number one show.
Wow. Okay. That's interesting.
Yeah, very much so.
Josh McDaniels got interviewed yesterday, and according to the report.
Today, too.
Today, too? That's right. Well, according to the quotes I read yesterday and the analysis of those quotes, people are saying he's not ruling out something after
not.
The Super Bowl.
I asked him today, and first he started to sort of slap me around a little, and then I think he saw it was me and brought his tone back a little bit because he recognized a familiar face.
Because you're a tough guy.
I just think
he noticed that, you know, it was one of us, and I wrote that nice Pulse story on him a while ago that his mom liked, and, you know, maybe he could be a little kinder. But he said after the Super Bowl, he will consider any options that are laid out in front of him and do the same thing again.
We know the Redskins are waiting after the Super Bowl.
And he should. He didn't say he'll never definitely interview. He said he'll weigh the pros and cons and make a decision for his family again. But you got to think, if Daniel Snyder comes calling, there's going to be a lump of money on the table.
A lot of money. Yeah, but the question is, what are the stipulations of the job?
Fred, you
have to work with Vinny Serrato?
He's 32 years old, and somebody comes and says, I'm going to give you a four-year deal for $20 million. You turn that down?
I know.
That sets your family up for life.
That's true.
There's no guarantees in this world.
That's true.
No guarantees at all.
That's true. I think it would be a bad thing, a good thing for McDaniels if it happened, but a bad thing for the league if it happened. It just sets a bad precedent.
For what?
To hire young coaches?
To hire smart coaches who are up and coming?
And pay them millions and millions of
That's
dollars.
That's the way it works.
Instead of paying retreads millions
of
dollars.
Or we could pay a college coach who's never coached in the NFL.
So what do you pay somebody like Bill Parcells then?
More.
Millions?
More.
Stop hiring him.
More.
He's 80.
Twice as
Fred,
twice
it's the way the sports business works. A guy makes a lot of money. The next guy who's as good or better makes more.
I know.
What do you think Bill Belichick?
These owners, though, they complain about, you know, we got a bad collective bargaining agreement. And then they go do stuff like they're doing, and then they complain. Oh,
if you don't have a good coach, you can't win the Super Bowl.
Right.
No, that's interesting.
Football
too.
Coaches are some of the most important aspects of any sport.
I understand, but don't complain about the bad deal.
Who's complaining?
Just about every owner.
Well, yes.
Well,
and
that's
their
problem.
You know, I wanted to get onto that. The CBA that you brought up, Fred, in that part of it. Did you read some of the stuff that Denver talked about? I don't know.
Pat Bowlen.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I didn't read.
And I read it, and I said, I was thinking to myself, Pat. The problem is yourself. I mean, you get these owners that pay these outlandish contracts to guys like, you know, name a guy.
Courtney Brown.
Well, you know, Snyder is the first offender, but they pay these crazy contracts, and then they complain.
Are we talking free agency? Are we talking rookies?
Both.
What are we talking about?
Well, rookies.
The rookies isn't their fault.
They can't fault them on the rookies because that's kind of the way it is.
That was jammed down their throat, and that's the. Right. I think that's what he's some of the stuff that he's talking about.
But he was also talking about free agents.
It was very much similar to all the stuff about Buffalo that we kind of, you know, we poked fun at because Ralph Wilson sounded so foolish and feeble the way he.
But no one forces an owner to sign any player to any deal.
That's the point.
I think they felt like. Well, I think they're not.
You're
happy
making
with
my point.
That it's. I don't see. I don't think it has anything at all to do with.
How
contracts.
Did we get from Josh McDaniels to free agents? You're paying a lot
because
of money.
Don't complain the salaries are too high.
They think the salary
and
cap
things
is
are
too
out of
high.
Whack.
So
when
if you don't spend money, you're Mike Brown, and people criticize
right.
you. If you spend money, it's your fault. You're ruining the league.
No.
You're spending too much.
No,
money.
No, you spend it wisely, like the Patriots.
See, I don't think
that's what this is.
Listen to me.
The Patriots is the right way.
Listen, the Denver Broncos
have the Patriots
overspent
not been criticized in the past for being cheap?
They had
but you're missing.
But they had the strength to say, you know what, let them criticize it because we have faith in what we're doing.
But
that's
why
the
can't,
point. Fred. Some of these people don't have the faith in themselves and the confidence to be able to take that type of criticism and do the right thing.
I think you're missing the point.
That is the point.
No, but I don't think. I mean,
no,
maybe
that is the point.
I'll defer to you if you read something that I didn't. But I didn't read Pat Bowlen complaining about salaries and individual salaries. He's complaining about the cap and how high it is. And not being able to, there's getting a point where they're diminishing returns for some of these guys. I don't necessarily agree with it. You know my feelings on finding ways. I think the Patriots should be commended for
cap,
all the ways they found
the cap
to generate revenue.
The cap is
the
based on
the
revenues.
The
cap is based on
right,
the revenues.
But the percentage has gone up. Yes. And
because
that,
the
that
revenues
was,
have gone up.
But that was
no,
the
no,
part
the
of the CBA that was controversial.
The percentage of the revenues has gone up.
The percentage that has gone to the players has gone up.
Right. That's
right.
Then that's the cap.
And that's how the cap is increasing, and it's going to increase by another large margin next year, and that's what Pat Bowlen was talking about. I think what's happening for some of these guys, and I'm not taking their side, believe me, I think you need to find ways to compete. That's what you need to do. But that's what they're complaining about. They're not complaining about
I understand, but there's none of these...
$5 million signing bonus for a free agent. They didn't sign a lot of big money free agents last year. They're having a hard time keeping up with the Joneses, that's all.
I know, but a lot of these owners... You know, they say, well, we can't make the same money as, a Philly or a New England
or
a Dallas.
That's what they're talking about.
But, they're not losing money. So what they're really saying is, in order to compete in salaries, we have to spend more. We have to not make as much money as the next team. It's not like Dallas spends more money on players than Buffalo. They spend the same amount. It's just that Ralph Wilson can't make as much money for himself.
That's what they're complaining about.
Too bad. You live in Buffalo. Okay, so you're only going to make $10 million at the end of the year instead of $50 million.
So you're advocating the Bills to move to a bigger city.
Well, too bad.
But don't you think that affects your ability over the course of time to continue to put a winning product on the
right.
field?
The
not
league
when
was
it comes
built
to
upon.
Salaries because you're all working under the same salary.
But wasn't
not
the league
as much money, Fred? It's hard to keep paying those salaries.
It affects you. You don't make as much profit.
Yes.
Right. But
that's easy for you to say. You're not.
The league was built upon we're all in this. It's not me making profit. It's we.
I understand,
profit.
But they all get the same amount of money from shared revenues. And who puts in most of the money from the shared revenues?
The Patriots.
The teams that do better.
Just go with that. One.
So you can't have it both ways.
I just
you can't have it both ways.
I just think this would be a different story if and I say the same thing about the Red Sox. And we all say, that's the way it is. I think we'd look at it differently if we're a middle market or a small market team. I think it's easy to sit there and say, "Well, you're making $10 million. It's not like you're losing money when someone else is making $100 million." I mean, that's not.
But they can't use that $90 million for salaries.
But they can do it for other things, Fred.
That's
help
true.
Your team.
That is true. They can do. They can build better facilities and
we could probably pick
like
this
that.
Up in the off season.
What do you do?
Yeah, because sooner or later someone's going to walk by. It's going to cost.
Well, I don't even
care
about that. But it's Super Bowl weekend. Somehow we turned from Josh McDaniels potentially considering an offer from the Redskins.
Fred was saying it's bad for the league if they're paying a lot of money
that,
for a coach. I don't understand that.
It sets a bad it's Why? A tough precedent because exactly what we're talking about. So in one hand, you're defending Ralph Wilson. Now you're setting
him,
a precedent when a guy like Daniel Snyder does what he did with Greg Williams. And, that hurts a team like Buffalo who can't afford to do that. Right?
How
Doesn't
many Super
it?
Bowls have the Redskins won?
That's a good point.
I don't really understand. I don't understand the point at all. But I agree with Andy. We have a Super Bowl going on, and I think maybe we should talk about that.
Okay, so go ahead. Talk.
But what you said, I thought you were saying something different about it's bad for the league. Randy Moss was talking about Josh McDaniels, and he said he's a good coach and gave him a lot of praise. And he said that's good for Josh McDaniels and bad for the Patriots because he might not be a Patriots coach very much longer.
Right. See, I think it's great for the league.
That's the right thing.
That's
say.
The way it works.
But I actually think that's great for the league because I think, like Tom pointed out, why should we go hire Dave Campo or North Turner or Rich Kotite or some other guy who we already know can't do the job?
Yeah, I completely agree with that. Aside from the whole salary talk, it's good for the league to get the fresh talent in those positions.
Some
because
of them are going to
work
out.
There's just too many retreads. We're talking about Fossil and Mariucci and guys like that.
I can't believe
Enough.
Mariucci is up.
I saw
Mooch yesterday.
The guy can't speak.
Speaking of Moss, one thing I forgot to tell you, I knew there was something I wanted to tell you yesterday that I forgot, and it was Stallworth again. And someone had asked a question about Moss being double-teamed all year and if that opened up other opportunities for the other receivers, which Stallworth replied, well, really, Randy hasn't seen a lot of double teams this year.
It's not what Randy said.
So, according to Stallworth, he's getting all the double teams, and that's why apparently he's not catching any passes.
No, sticking with
Randy
Moss,
said double and triple teams over the last few weeks.
Sticking with Moss, I thought Andy had an interesting quote from Nick Caserio, the wide receivers coach, and a lot of people talked about how defenses have been able to take Moss out of games lately. And talking about, is this the way to do it? You get physical at the line and in press coverage. And Caserio actually said that he thinks that that's one of Randy Moss's strengths is
to get
his ability
to
get off the line. So I thought that was an interesting.
ESPN did a whole thing with Emmett Smith today and Salisbury and Stuart Scott, and they ISO'd Moss against in the Philly game, in the Chargers game, and they showed what guys were doing, all the holes that they were. Actually,
oh, God. Know. See, you can't even just talk about it. You
no,
gotta,
but you, they showed the holes.
He should have a good day on Sunday because I had asked James Butler about Moss, about how he has been kind of held in check and everyone's kind of expecting a big game and how he beat the Giants last time out. And I had asked him about that play, and he said, we weren't really double-teaming Welker. It was more miscommunication on the secondary part, and that's what we've been hearing from everyone in New York is that the secondary – a lot of miscommunication throughout the year. And then he said, it's not about Randy Moss. He said, we're not coming in here thinking that we have to stop Randy Moss. We have to stop everybody, which is telling me, say goodnight.
you're trying to stop everybody.
They're not
stop no one.
Not targeting Randy Moss, and they think Junior Seau is the key to the defense.
Right. Good luck
it's
with
over.
That.
Good luck, Giants. 45-13, I'm feeling better about my pick every minute.
That's
one last thing, Tom. Right, Wes Welker pick? Compared the offense to Texas Tech under Leach.
Yeah, oh, really?
He's had a lot of similarities.
And the wow, that is interesting. Yeah. The spread, and, yeah. And I had asked Dominic Hickson. Remember, we were wondering why he's not in there catching passes
because he can't catch.
Well, no, I asked. He said he practices a lot, and I said, "Do you think you could be like the Wes Welker of this offense?" And he said, "Boy, I don't know." He said, "Wes Welker does a lot for that offense. I don't know if I could be that." So he's actually they've been compliment. It's been a kind of an interesting dynamic right. from the Giants because they've been complimentary, but they're confident. They're not necessarily cocky, I don't think.
It's right. the difference between like the Freddie Mitchell comment. I made the statement earlier about how usually at the Super Bowl everybody's falling all over each other, but this year that particular year Freddie Mitchell said an outrageous thing, you know, disrespecting Rodney Harrison and all the Patriots receivers. But this is different. This is, you know, the Giants are confident, and Plaxico Burress is making a statement that, with, you know, 23-17. But when you ask them about the individuals on the Patriots or the offense, it's just over-the-top praise.
Yeah. And I got from listening, I wasn't there when Burress said the 23-17, but listening to the New York writers, it kind of sounds like the people are taking this the wrong way because apparently he got baited. They were saying, well, do you think you're going to win? He said, of course.
Of course I do.
And a lot of the Giant players have been saying the last couple of days, people are asking us if we think we can win. Why do you think
we're
here?
Worst question ever.
Yeah, and so I guess someone said to Burress, well, pick a score. And Burress said, I don't know, 23-17, kind of like that, not saying, right. I guarantee we're going to win 23-17.
They said nothing in common at all to the Anthony Smith situation. And,
no.
and Anthony Smith, by the way, was kind of baited as well and went somewhere yep. that probably didn't want to go.
All right. Let's take a break, Dan. When we come back, we've got a ton of emails, and we'll get right to them.
A tremendous performance. The Patriots win the AFC Championship.
Your New England Patriots are AFC champions and are off to Arizona for Super Bowl 42. And you can join them when they play for their fourth Super Bowl championship just by shopping at the Patriots Pro Shop or PatriotsProShop.com. That's right. Go to the Patriots Pro Shop or PatriotsProShop.com for your AFC Championship gear, and you can win a trip for two to the Super Bowl. You can get the same AFC Championship hat and t-shirt the players were wearing on the field. Check out the huge collection of AFC Champion merchandise with items like sweatshirts, ladies' tees, keychains, and many Pro Shop that you won't find anywhere else. Can't make it to Foxborough? Log on to PatriotsProShop.com and gear up for the Super Bowl and get your Pats merchandise directly from the source. And remember, just for shopping at PatriotsProShop.com, you will be entered to win a trip for two to Super Bowl 42. The Patriots Pro Shop at Gillette Stadium is open Monday through Sunday leading up to the Super Bowl.
When you've got a lineman-size hunger and want the awesome, authentic taste of Gillette Stadium at your tailgate or right at home, tackle that appetite with Patriots Gridiron Grillers. Try Sac Attack sausages, first down franks, or Patriots brats in a wide variety of flavors at home, at the stadium, or at the game. And get your crowd cheering for Gridiron Grillers. They're great on the grill. Gridiron Grillers are all you'll need for the perfect tailgate or home barbecue. Check out all of the Patriots Gridiron Grillers. Mild and hot Sac Attack sausages, Patriots cheese brats and beer brats, first down franks and more. Patriots Gridiron Grillers go great on the grill. Gridiron Grillers are available at Big Y, Demoulas Market Basket, Hannaford, Johnny's Foodmaster, Roach Brothers Sudbury Farm, Shaw's and Stop and Shop, and distributed by Agar, Associated Grocers of Maine and Associate Grocers of New England and CNS Wholesale. Patriots Gridiron Grillers, when you just can't wait for Sunday.
All right, Jimmy, it's the big day, and we gotta go. Patriots kick off in an hour. Let's make sure we got everything.
All right, let's see. Face paint.
Check.
Helmets.
Check.
Foam fingers.
Check.
Jerseys.
Check.
Checks.
Check.
Check card.
Check.
That's everything.
Let's go, Pats! Woo! Let's go, Pats! Let's go, Pats! Let's go!
Check, check, check. That's right. If you really are a true Patriots fan, then you need to open a New England Patriots checking account from Bank of America today. You'll get checks, check cards, and even bank statements, all with the official New England Patriots logo. Bank of America is the official bank of the New England Patriots. So take advantage of this opportunity to make every day game day.
Let's go, Pats!
Woo! And sign up for a New England Patriots checking account today. Bank of America. Bank of Opportunity.
Bank of America N.A. Member FDIC. New England Patriots trademarks, including the Patriots logo, are the property of New England Patriots L.P. and are used pursuant to a licensing agreement with New England Patriots L.P. 2007 Bank of America Corporation. All rights reserved.
He's been a three-time champion, two-time Super Bowl MVP, and kicked off 2007 on a record pace.
Three touchdown passes in the first half.
Now, Tom Brady has signed official Patriots mini replica helmets, and you can get one free. Exclusively from the New England Patriots, this authentic mini helmet comes complete with chin strap, face mask, and Tom Brady's autograph. Perfect for every Patriots fan. To take advantage of this incredible one-of-a-kind offer, all you need to do is make qualifying transactions on your Bank of America Patriots Extra Points Visa card. Plus, with your card, you'll earn Patriots Extra Points redeemable for once-in-a-lifetime Patriots experiences, pregame field passes, memorabilia, merchandise, tickets, and much more. Don't wait. Apply at PatriotsExtraPoints.com or call 1-800-NFL-9929 to get your Bank of America Patriots Extra Points Visa card and a free official mini replica helmet autographed by Tom Brady. Patriots Extra Points, because fans want contact too. Autographed mini helmet limited to those making a qualifying purchase. See details at PatriotsExtraPoints.com.
All right, back here in PFW in progress. As always, we'll be here until... Now, what time is it here? Oh, so it's 6 o'clock Eastern Time. Will be on the air
till
4 o'clock Mountain Time.
Right
now, do they always have Mountain Time?
Yep.
Even like daylight savings.
Well, they don't. They don't. Wait a minute. Partake in.
Do you mean
of
Mountain
them.
Time in general?
Yeah.
Yes. In Arizona, sometimes they're on Pacific Time, and sometimes they're on
right.
Time.
That must be very confusing for people who live out here.
Probably.
You know, especially when if you watch a lot of TV,
like me.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think during daylight savings, Tom? I think that they're a three-hour difference from us.
Propel?
Yes.
Propel, invigorating water.
Invigorating water. I've never seen that style before.
No, me either.
Do you feel invigorated?
Is that anything like
E2? I don't
feel
bad. I actually feel pretty good for Wednesday. A little under the weather with a cold, but other than that, I got good energy.
You got good sleep. I know that.
I'm feeling good. Sure. Andy's not there bothering me anymore.
Yeah. What floor are you on, Tom?
Seventh
floor. Okay.
Until tomorrow at 8 o'clock in the morning.
What floor are you on?
Four.
You have a suite?
No. Just a normal room.
Sure you don't.
I don't.
Now, you guys have your wives coming tomorrow, correct?
That's correct.
That is correct.
And what are you guys going to do? You going to check out the town?
I'm not doing... They're on their own.
They are.
We got to work.
The party tomorrow night. That's about it. Yeah. Plus, by the time they get here tomorrow, it'll be
we have Saturday off,
o'clock.
So you can do whatever you want.
We do?
Yeah, we declared Saturday's day off.
Oh.
Well, we got tipped the Hall of Fame thing. Obviously, we'll do something about that.
I hope he makes it.
I do, too.
We should go
I have a really good feeling. Oh, can you talk about the practice
media center?
Can we talk about that?
Well, I think...
That should have already happened by now.
Yeah, actually, check out... hopefully, it works out. Check out any of the pictures or video that we have from practice today, because during warm-ups for the rest of the week, Mike Vrabel has agreed to wear Andre Tippett's jersey. So,
just a little extra publicity.
Now, do they have to check that with Tip first to make sure it's okay, or do they just do it? How does it work?
I'm not sure if they checked with Tip, but they certainly checked with Vrabel, and he said it was okay. You know, and he's only going to wear it during warm-ups, I guess. You know, because obviously you can't be running around in a red shirt.
It's good visual, though. Gets the message out there. Gets the name out there more.
Yeah.
What do you think? Gut feeling, Paul.
I have a feeling he's going to get in.
Fred.
I have a really good feeling.
I've been thinking he will get in, yeah.
Andy.
I think he's a lock.
I think he gets
really?
In, too.
Really? A lock? Wow.
I don't know where he comes up with these definitive
things. Yeah, I don't know. So, there's four.
I talked to somebody and got a good opinion.
Did you really?
Yeah.
Who'd you talk to?
I can't say.
It's gorgeous.
Peter King.
No.
Why can't you say?
Because I don't think the person would want me. No, I talk to somebody who I respect their thoughts on the topic. Not that moron.
So you got four people here who we
feel a lot better about it.
But we've never really asked each other, so that's why I just asked. And we all think he's getting in. So that's
and we have no idea.
It's funny because I didn't.
Except Andre Tippett.
That's not what we. I didn't think he was going to get in last year, and I was very encouraged. I feel like I was wrong, because I feel like even though he didn't get in, he got much closer and much further along in the process than I thought. So now I think, and like I said, all of those people last year, the veterans of that committee said, once you get to that stage, you get in. You know?
Is that miserable bastard
Probably.
Doc Z on there?
Probably.
He's a terrible, terrible man.
You talk about Donners. You talk about Donner's, Fred. That guy is miserable.
I asked Josh McDaniels about Nick Caserio, and he's giving the obligatory. I mean, they went to college together. Nick Caserio is the wide receivers coach first year. He's giving him a nice quote, and Josh is saying, and it's a unique group he has to work with. There's a lot of personalities there. There's a lot of skill sets. And Doc Z goes, and a lot of talent. Like that. Like, he didn't do anything. There's a lot of talent in that group. Like, shut up. Who are you?
That's Fred being down here. I got a good look at the miserable old reporter. And it reminds me of politics, Fred. These guys slide into the job about age 32. Right. They don't leave until they're 80.
Like
and
Paul.
They just get bitter and bitter, more bitter.
It was going in my head. I could tell it was coming.
This is how Doc Z.
Oh, my God.
During the national
Shut
anthem,
up,
he actually has a stopwatch. And he times the national anthem.
Why? Because he bets on it?
No, because he doesn't like it when they run too long.
So what does he do about it?
I don't know.
I'm sure he complains.
He writes it down in his little notebook.
Miserable man.
These people don't get it. I mean, this isn't really work. You know, it's.
I like. He was one of those guys too. Paul Zimmerman with. He has this like supposedly revolutionary system for charting a game. You know, that he developed.
It's gibberish.
That he developed, like, back in the 60s. He has the different color pens. It's like when you're, a young Cub reporter and you're out covering high school games. You have to do all your own stats and stuff. Everybody has their own system.
Right.
And I feel like saying, Paul, they give you all that stuff.
Right.
You don't have to chart
any
of that.
And now they have laptops.
Maybe if you spent less time worrying about your little system for charting the game, you could actually watch it and see what's going on.
You wouldn't be picking the Giants because you were too scared to pick the Jets 40 years ago.
Right.
The fact that he was around 40 years ago, that's the problem for me. I say once you hit an age, get him out.
I mean, I respect what the guy's been able to do in his career, but what a
curmudgeon. Doesn't mean you have to be mean and mad.
Yeah, and I'm not saying he's even bad at his job. I hate these older guys who complain about
angry
every
at
little
the world.
Thing. And God almighty.
I mean, what does he have to be angry
about? You're
at
the
about?
Super Bowl.
First of all, Tom, it's really hitting home for Tom, because that's Tom's gig, angry
at
the world.
right.
But Tom, if you last that long, that's what you're going to be
I've
like,
been in
right?
a good mood all week.
You have.
Yeah.
I knew this was going to happen. You guys set this up as the worst thing that could ever be. It was kind of like Fred's Departed, you know.
Yep.
But we told
it's all about the expectations.
First of all, we told you.
Not to mention, it's blowing Jacksonville and Houston out of the water.
As
for
a
Super
first
Bowl
time,
city.
You should be excited to be here. The first time in New Orleans was great.
But I mean, everything's been
experience.
Like even the ride to the Giants thing. You hit a little, but it's nothing.
Right.
It's a 40-45 minute ride. I thought it was going to be terrible, but we have that great new invention called the GPS, where you don't even have to drive anymore; it just tells you where to go. I got to tell you, my life has changed since I got A, that bag, B, the wipes, and 3, that GPS navigation system. Those three things will change your life.
There was supposed to be a fourth in there, that mask, and that didn't really pan out.
No, we're still working on that, but we'll iron out the problem.
Speaking of that mask, Steven in Portland writes in. He says, "Hey, Tom, I wear a mask, and it works great. No snoring. I asked my doctor. He said, if you don't need the surgery, don't do it, because most likely it'll make swelling inside and do little improvement. Plus, they do break your nose for the surgery.
Oh, nice.
So I was never interested in that. However, if you want to improve your looks, then this surgery might be for you.
Yeah.
Have fun at the Super Bowl and go Pats. And Andy, don't stand so close to Paul next time. I can't see him past your head.
Well, word is I have emailed my doctor, and word is that something's wrong with the mask. It doesn't fit. There's something wrong with it. So a technician is going to come out.
There's air coming in.
Yeah, there's something's not right because that's not supposed to happen.
She technician's said, coming out here?
No. Oh. When I get home, there's a technician coming out, and we're going to get me a new mask. So hopefully that'll take care of things for next year.
And a one Deirdre Hart writes in.
Uh-oh.
She says, seriously, honey, enough with the Kelly Pickler. I can deal with you gawking at her and writing on the blog about her, but over the radio show, too, enough.
All right, well, since Deirdre Hart has chimed in, I think it's time that we touch on something.
Uh-oh.
That...
I don't think it's time. I don't know what you're talking about, but I don't think it's time.
And touch being the key word here. Some girls have emailed in saying that Andy Hart looks nice in his picture. Apparently, and this is coming from the horse's mouth himself.
Well done. Well done, Tom.
Andy Hart had that picture touched
up. That's not accurate.
That is not.
Airbrushed like a model on a cover of 17 magazines.
And
not accurate. The source of this information is none other than
Andy Hart himself. So it's not a rumor.
Who thinks that he already told us this before, but Tom and I both have no recollection of this whatsoever.
Unbelievable. I had no part in it. Maura O'Brien, our wonderful production.
So it was touched up.
It was for a TV show I did where they needed one of those on the phone photos. So she took the picture. She touched it up a little.
Well, the thing was, Fred, I was wondering because none of us are that good looking. We'll admit
it is what it is.
We'll admit that flat out. But we're wondering, why does everyone think Andy? Is it just because
it is what it is?
Compared to us.
But we looked at the picture, and I said, that doesn't even really look like you anymore. And Andy said, well, I did have the picture touched up, you know. And we had no idea.
You guys just don't have a good memory. You knew about
Cali Girl, Renee.
I don't care. Eric, Chris.
Amy. Amy's the one I want.
You have no right to make fun of anyone.
Christy. Who are all the women? I can't even think of all the women, but listen, I'm old, I'm bald, I'm chubby, but that picture you see, that's me, okay? No one did anything to, make me look
Well, you're a little bigger
worse.
Now.
That's what it is.
Although I need...
That pound
still at it.
About 20 pounds lighter.
I need to get a new picture out there, too, though, because the one out there, I had the red eye in that, and Allison made it black.
See, you touched yours up, too. See how it works?
Yeah, but you can't see my beautiful blue eyes.
They're not showing up.
Tom's is touched up. Paul's is
nothing touched
much
up
skinnier
online.
Than he is these days.
I'm going to just go. I'm going to go to Maura and tell her to fill in my bald spot in the back of my head.
I didn't touch up mine for the web.
She's not a magician.
Fred, of course she is.
Fred found
a
picture of me and sent it to him.
I did not send that picture.
Who did?
I have no idea.
How did it get on
the web? I don't even know where that picture's from.
I don't either.
So
I don't know where the picture of me is from.
I did not send that picture.
You did.
Okay.
But
where would I have gotten it from?
Deirdre,
I don't know. Lying your ass off.
You know, I respect your wife, so I'm not going to mention anything that happened last night. You know, I won't say anything
Why,
that
I'm
happened.
Not Tony Maserati.
Let's see.
Hopefully Allison isn't listening, because I got drunk and I was looking for some hot tail.
Yes, you were.
Tyler writes in. He says, first time emailer, long time listener. I'm emailing from Harrisburg, Pennsylvania.
Yes, Harrisburg.
Hey, yeah. That's your old stomping grounds.
My wife's grandparents.
Is it everywhere?
No, it's actually Nikki's old stomping grounds.
I just wanted to say thank you for the podcast. It's hard keeping up with the Pats here in Pennsylvania. You guys have made my first year of teaching second grade manageable. I'm wondering if anybody knows how long Belichick is going to be around.
2013
That's
is
his
the
question.
Report.
I thought you said...
Or February 7th, 2008.
What report? What are you talking about?
That was his extension was through 2013.
Oh,
that's going to be the latest one that, you know, Andy Hart was the first one to say it.
Well, I was.
Of course, he said 2013, no. February 7th.
The contract extension, as reported by Michael Smith and ESPN, was through 2013.
Yes, I understand. That's okay.
And Mr. Kraft has said he hopes that Brady and Belichick stay together for a long time. Brady's on record saying he wants to play another 10 years. So you bring that all together, I don't know what it means.
I have a question for the fans. Why do you think Scoop Jackson makes more money than the three of us?
Combined.
Well, I'm just wondering because...
I don't think we'll be able to read the answers because we have astute fans and they're going to have the right answer.
But he doesn't ask good questions. His writing's terrible. I've seen him on television. Now, there's a lot of media people I think that should make more money than me, but he's not one of them.
Name a couple.
That should make more money than me? I don't know. I'm sure there's tons of them that are better than I am.
He just can't think of any.
Well, I'm not that good. I'm just saying Scoop Jackson stinks. And I'm wondering to our fans, do you read Scoop Jackson? Is he a guy that you're interested in? Because I just don't get the whole shtick.
Was he at your Giants thing?
Yes. And he's
caught some of his act yesterday.
Yeah,
I didn't see him.
He's annoying. He just pops right in and starts asking stupid questions. He thinks he's funny. The players don't think he's funny. I don't get it.
Did they have that guy that was in Dallas? Hey, coach.
It's the girl with him.
It's not coach. It's Champ.
Hey, Champ.
Hey, Champ.
Oh, man. I wish we could have that guy.
Can you imagine all the people they send down here and they don't send him down?
I wish they had that
guy. I love that guy.
That guy was phenomenal.
What did he say? Hey, Champ. Or something about the jitterbug?
Hey, Champ, you make the other team look like they had some of the gin and juice.
The quarter step and then the
gin and, they were on the gin and juice and you were doing
the juice.
You're making them look like Flapper Girl.
I got to find out what radio station he's on.
I don't remember that. He remembers all the words.
Had a weird week this week.
Wow.
Renee writes in, I just finished watching Belichick and Moss's press conferences, and here are my questions. One, who is Bill's alter ego? Because that's not the coach I've been watching in New England. And two, do you think if McDaniels leaves this offseason, Moss will follow?
No.
No. I think that Moss wants to I think he likes it here. He made a comment yesterday about retiring as a Patriot.
He reiterated it today.
He did make an interesting comment about the Vikings, though. Did you?
No.
He said that he wanted to retire a Viking, that he started there and that's where he wanted to end, and that he was never accepted by a fan base like he was with the Vikings.
Are you freaking kidding me?
It's unbelievable. But I thought that was interesting because he doesn't usually give...
he doesn't want to go play with my boy Tavares Jackson.
Oh, no,
but
he was just saying how the fans had embraced him there, right, and how much he had respected him for that. And I thought that was interesting. And he did even say being a Raider, just putting on the silver and black, even though things ended badly there, that will always be an honor for him because he was able to put that helmet on and he had respect for that organization.
Had respect.
Had, yeah.
Had being had the keyword in that sentence. But there was a report today, I think today or yesterday, Len Pasquarelli on ESPN.com, said he confirmed with both league and team sources that with the way they managed Moss's contract to come here via trade, that they could not extend him before free agency. He must go to free agency. The only way they could prevent him from going to free agency is to franchise him. They cannot give him an extension now. They have to wait.
That runs counter to information that we got from the organization.
Yes, and Pasquarelli wrote that there have been reports and that the Patriots had offered him an extension and that is not, they can't do it. It's not legal. Under the rules of the CBA and all that crap, they can't do it.
Does he cite a source for that, or is he reading the CBA?
He cites league and team sources confirming the Patriots cannot extend Moss until free agency unless they franchise him, and that's 7.98 million or something like that.
You remember when we had an Ask PFW, probably like in October.
Right.
And I emailed somebody in the organization because I didn't want to read the CBA myself and get it wrong. So I emailed someone who would know, and they told me the way that they could, in fact, extend Moss if they so chose to do. And
but
evidently
like
that was
that's
incorrect.
Not accurate.
Hmm.
Or
the report you're reading.
Well,
but he's citing
league
team,
and team sources, so he has multiple sources.
But you're citing a team
source
as well.
Yeah, but
not league and team.
Yeah, and I also...
And we're not citing the source.
Yeah, I'm not citing my source here because I'm not getting anyone in trouble, but I would venture that Len Pasquarelli's source is a little bit higher in the chain than mine was.
Oh, okay. Sean from Hazleton, Pennsylvania. During a busy week for you guys, just wanted to say, as a fan, your hard work on the website is paying off. The press conferences are excellent, and so is the blog. Fred, you don't get too much credit, but good job with the site. My final prediction, Pats 38, Giants 27. Quick question. Does Tom Brady's lawsuit with Cadillac a few years ago hurt his chances for a Super Bowl MVP?
No.
I know on the NFL website, Cadillac's MVP moments, two Super Bowls are missing. And that is the ones Brady won. Just curious.
No,
that's interesting, though.
That can't... Fred, can you mute it or vibrate it? I mean...
Okay.
Is that an option?
Okay.
The way the voting works, it's basically 20 votes. It's 16 members of the media, and then value of four votes is comprised of internet voting from the fans. So unless they're going to totally disregard the voting system that's in place, if Tom Brady gets 16 of the 20 votes, he's going to be the MVP.
Right, and
I mean, we talked about it earlier. There was a case, a similar type case
back in the dark ages when you couldn't figure that
when you could win a team in a pool tournament and I mean a poker tournament those days. But they did it where they ripped up the MVP voting.
They did that, and that was back. I think it was Super Bowl six.
Wouldn't that be great?
Or five.
He throws like six touchdowns, 400 yards, and then they say, and the MVP goes to Wes Welker, seven catches, 50 yards, and all those 16 guys are like, I voted for Brady. Who'd you vote for?
I'll tell you why else that's going to be a problem. Vegas. because you can bet on who the MVP right. is. And, you know, Vegas doesn't like things like that either, because if you're going to get better odds with Welker,
right.
and they're going to lose a lot more money if Welker
bottom line
is the MVP.
If Brady's the MVP, he's going to be the MVP. Now, maybe he'll skip a press conference. Maybe he'll not accept the Cadillac that goes with it, but he's going to
what
be the game.
What happened with him in Cadillac?
They kept using his likeness beyond when they were contractually allowed to.
Oh. So.
And so he sued him for a good chunk of money. I forget what it was.
Well, yeah, he sued him to stop. I don't think it. I think it was probably just settled, but I don't think he got the money. I'm not sure. Maybe he did.
I thought there was money involved.
No. But I think it was like a threat for money or something.
That was
something.
The other part of his signing bonus that he didn't get from the Patriots.
Are they saying the Patriots are circumventing the salary cap, Paul? That's Paul Perillo, Patriots Football Weekly. You can find him at desk 2 in the Cushing B room.
Let's see. Scott writes in about ESPN article in Bristol saying that Manning is the best quarterback ever. This has been
Eli?
Yeah, he says, did you guys see the Shahida article on ESPN about quarterbacks of the decade? Let's see. In the 2000 to present, and I guess he goes on to say why Peyton Manning is a better quarterback than Tom Brady, and it's basically based on the numbers.
Well, you can argue it, but it's wrong.
Yeah, we all.
Tom Brady is the best quarterback of this decade and maybe any decade.
Yeah, we certainly would take the other side of that, but Andy's right. An argument could be made.
I don't think it's ridiculous. Now, Eli Manning would be downright ridiculous, but Peyton Manning, you can argue it.
I like that new thing that came out on Fox where they ranked the top teams of all time and the 92 Cowboys were number 2. I thought that was accurate.
On Fox what? On the internet?
It was Fox. So they were Eric was reading it to us yesterday, remember?
No, I don't listen to Eric.
I think the 49ers might have been 1 and Dallas was 2. This Patriots team, I think, was 9th.
This one here?
Yeah.
As the best team ever?
Yeah.
Wow.
It was really weird.
How can you say that?
Can they move up?
I'm a huge Cowboys fan.
Can they move up that far
to.
with one win on Sunday?
I don't know. I guess that's why no one knows Fox has a sports website.
I do think it's an interesting argument, this whole, and we're going to get into this in the off season, Fred. The three of us are going to try to do some research and talk to people about the best teams of all time.
Are we doing a tournament?
We might try to do something
like that.
Going to
set up a bracket.
Too. Yeah, this is off season stuff, Tom. Don't worry about it. I know he gets
this is where we call Doc
zone.
Z, and I'll suck up to him and say, Doc, I was wondering about the...
You do a great job.
Respect your work.
You do a great job. But we want to talk about... I do think it's an interesting debate because I think this notion that if they go 19-0, they have to be considered the best team of all time, I don't necessarily agree with. Now, if you think they're the best team of all time, I can listen to that argument. I don't know more than 10 NFL people that think the 72 Dolphins are the best team of all time. Yeah. I don't know anyone who considers them the best.
But they are solely based on being undefeated.
Right.
You could argue that with the offense and the production,
yes,
that if this team had been 14-2, people would have still said,
yes,
well, that's a great football team.
Right.
So when
I
you
agree.
Combine the two, does that put you
saying,
over the top?
People are saying because they're 19-0, you have to say they're the best ever. No one ever did that.
No.
And that's where I would disagree.
You do have to say it's the best season ever.
The year that the Niners went 15-1, who'd they beat in the Super Bowl? Do you remember which
year did they go 15-1?
I think it was the 88. The Strippers.
Cincinnati.
That was the close one? The close call? Super Bowl? The year they went 15-1?
It might have been Denver. I don't know which one they went 15-1.
I'm just wondering because if it's the
year... Did they go 15-1 in 84 when they beat Miami?
See, I can't remember the year it was.
They handled Miami pretty good, too.
Right, that's what I'm thinking because they were a heck of a football
team.
All
of their Super Bowls, really. The Cincinnati one was atypical. Their other Super Bowls were blowups.
Because that would probably be my vote as the best team, that and the 85 Bears.
They beat Cincinnati twice. And the first one was close by score, but wasn't
right.
as close. The game wasn't as close. Then
but that
they,
was kind of
then
the 2001. That's when they right. were starting there.
They handled what was
Miami.
They handled Miami pretty well. It was like 38-16 or something like that. Then they blistered Denver 55-10, and they blistered San Diego with Steve Young, the overrated quarterback.
They had the close game with Cincinnati.
I gotta watch that. You never know. This is Super Bowl week. You know, he could just be walking by.
Who?
Steve Young, the overrated.
You don't like him though, so.
No, I don't.
Are you saying you don't have the stones? If he walked by, you wouldn't talk to him.
I don't want to be ripping someone.
He's gonna get into a fight.
Well, you could be honest and just say you're overrated.
Brady loves Steve Young.
Bill said he agrees with me.
Brady loves Steve Young. Says him in Montana.
He grew up watching
Joe and Steve.
That's just because he's a Bay Area boy.
Yeah.
All right, let's take a break, Dan. We'll be right back. Dan.
When you've got a lineman-sized hunger and want the awesome, authentic taste of Gillette Stadium at your tailgate or right at home, tackle that appetite with Patriots Gridiron Grillers. Try Sac Attack sausages, first down franks, or Patriots brats in a wide variety of flavors at home, at the stadium, or at the game. And get your crowd cheering for Gridiron Grillers. They're great on the grill. Gridiron Grillers are all you'll need for the perfect tailgate or home barbecue. Check out all of the Patriots Gridiron Grillers. Maryland Hot Sac Attack sausages, Patriots cheese brats and beer brats, first down franks and more. Patriots Gridiron Grillers go great on the grill. Gridiron Grillers are available at Big Y, Dumoulin's Market Basket, Hannaford, Johnny's Foodmaster, Roach Brothers Sudbury Farm, Shaw's and Stop and Shop, and distributed by Agar, Associated Grocers of Maine and Associate Grocers of New England and CNS Wholesale. Patriots Gridiron Grillers, when you just can't wait for Sunday.
All right, Jimmy, it's the big day, and we gotta go. Patriots kick off in an hour. Let's make sure we got everything.
All right, let's see. Face paint.
Check.
Helmets.
Check.
Foam fingers.
Check.
Jerseys.
Check.
Checks.
Check.
Check card.
Check.
That's everything.
Let's go, Pats! Woo! Let's go, Pats! Let's go, Pats! Let's go!
Check, check, check. That's right. If you really are a true Patriots fan, then you need to open a New England Patriots checking account from Bank of America today. You'll get checks, check cards, and even bank statements, all with the official New England Patriots logo. Bank of America is the official bank of the New England Patriots. So take advantage of this opportunity to make every day game day.
Let's go, Pats!
Woo! And sign up for a New England Patriots checking account today. Bank of America. Bank of Opportunity.
Bank of America N.A. Member FDIC. New England Patriots trademarks, including the Patriots logo, are the property of New England Patriots L.P. and are used pursuant to a licensing agreement with New England Patriots L.P. 2007 Bank of America Corporation. All rights reserved.
He's been a three-time champion, two-time Super Bowl MVP, and kicked off 2007 on a record pace.
Three touchdown passes in the first half.
Now Tom Brady has signed official Patriots mini replica helmets, and you can get one free exclusively from the New England Patriots. This authentic mini helmet comes complete with chin strap, face mask, and Tom Brady's autograph. Perfect for every Patriots fan. To take advantage of this incredible one-of-a-kind offer, all you need to do is make qualifying transactions on your Bank of America Patriots Extra Points Visa card. Plus, with your card, you'll earn Patriots Extra Points redeemable for once-in-a-lifetime Patriots experiences, pregame field passes, memorabilia, merchandise, tickets, and much more. Don't wait. Apply at PatriotsExtraPoints.com or call 1-800-NFL-9920. To get your Bank of America Patriots Extra Points Visa card and a free official mini replica helmet autographed by Tom Brady. Patriots Extra Points, because fans want contact too. Autographed mini helmet limited to those making a qualifying purchase. See details at PatriotsExtraPoints.com.
I ain't never gonna let you down. Oh, you got it.
All right, back here in PFW in progress. And we'll be here until 6 o'clock Eastern Time. I always have to pause just to make sure I'm doing it right. The whole time conversion thing.
I don't understand how you people that supposedly run the internet, run the web, you and Jana, can't figure out 2 hours.
Time. No, but it's server time versus local time versus Idiot Eastern time. It's
so, Fred, your boy Nick came out with us last night. He's pretty crazy.
Nick Krippendorf.
He's the Chinese guy here, the guy who runs
well,
the Chinese.
He's not actually Chinese.
But well,
he runs the Chinese website.
Although I think he is now Chinese. Yes, I think he's now. I think Chinese is like, and his thought process comes out in Chinese.
And we discussed communism because I'm a quasi-communist. And
as is Nick.
Yes. And, but he's got an interesting way of talking, Fred. He always says, like, you know, Fred, are you going to read that email? He always had, have you caught on that?
He's thinking in Chinese. Thinking in Chinese. Yeah. I think that's what it is.
No disrespect.
He now translates back to English out of Chinese, I think.
It's true.
So did you have a good time?
Yeah.
Did.
Oh, yeah.
Oh,
did.
Yeah. Tom was chasing any female that walked by.
All right. Let's see.
Chasing, right. The key word. Right. They wouldn't stop.
Hey, at least Nick took a run, though. He got in the batter's box, at least.
Yes.
Of course, he's the only single one. Oh, that's,
John,
oh,
no, he's not.
He's got a girlfriend in Beijing.
Oh, well,
who may or may not
maybe
be.
We
listening.
Ought to shut up.
That's a long way away.
It's still.
That's
single.
What he said.
It's
if she's
single.
On a different continent,
it's still single.
John at Palm Bay, Florida, usually calls in. Usually, like right at the beginning of the show.
Yes, he
and
does.
He's one of our more scintillating callers.
He says, "I just want to say I think you guys are doing a great job covering the Super Bowl.
Thanks, John.
I want to know, have you heard from other teams or players about how great you are doing what you're doing?"
Well, Lawrence Maroney joined our PFW in Progress MySpace page.
Yes.
And actually, in all seriousness, Chris Ferreira said that the Eagles contacted him and said how much.
Oh, that guy's a suck up though. What's his name? Shoe
Spudsy.
Spudsy. Spadaro.
He's a good guy.
He's just trying to suck up. Called Chris and said and commended.
That's nice
us
of him.
For all the
but what, what's this about Maroney joining the MySpace page?
Yep. Yes.
He actually did.
Yeah, it's his MySpace.
It looks
page.
Like it, but
wow.
We should actually ask him, Paul. You ask him tomorrow.
His official MySpace Maroney.
Because I know a lot about the MySpace stuff.
AKA L dot. AKA L train.
Got more AKAs than touchdowns.
Dave and the Queens, great not show anymore. Yesterday. Seeing how Belichick starts his game plan by taking away what the other team depends on most, being a pilgrim in unholy land, I have watched every Giants game this year, and by far, Plaxico is the MVP of that team. Though out throughout most of the year, he's been nursing an ankle injury that got better just in time for the playoffs. He abused Harris, who was trying to be physical with him, and made a bunch of key catches while Harris was in good position. Do you think Samuel can stop him by himself? Because I don't. And God help us if Hobbs ends up one-on-one with him.
I do not think Samuel can stop him
and
by himself.
And I don't think he'll get the opportunity either. Because I don't think that Bill is going to switch sides with those guys. So I think when Burris is on Samuel's side, Samuel will have him. But there's going to be times when Hobbs has him too. And my guess is Andy's right. You're going to get some help over the top.
Okay. And this is for Tom. What do you think about the rumors that the Cowboys are willing to trade Barber and draft picks to move up and get McFadden? I personally think that other than a fourth-round pick from Moss, that would be the dumbest trade in the history of the league. And just as a football fan, the fact that that is even a rumor makes me want to punch Jerry Jones in the balls.
Well, that's they're not going to trade Barber. They love him. I mean, Jones loves him, so that's why I don't think they'd trade him. But apparently they are interested in McFadden. I don't know what they're doing over there.
They're looking to trade Bobby Carpenter, too. PFW might get their boy. We're hearing rumors.
It's a sinking ship over there. They'll be lucky to win six games next year.
That ought to be good, going to a billion-dollar stadium with a losing team.
Nick in San Diego says, first, I love the Pierre Woods cam. Did you see that on Patriots.com?
Pierre Woods
cam. Is that why he had that big camera?
I saw him with the camera. I didn't see the footage.
They gave him the camera. He says, that was great, but where was the footage of him talking to Seymour? Seymour made him do push-ups. Where was that? I guess that wasn't when he had the camera for us. I don't know.
Right.
Anyway, where were any of you guys around when Miss Nevada sat on Brandon Merriweather's lap? When I saw that picture, I laughed out loud.
No, but David Silverman was, and apparently somehow orchestrated it, and Mark Briggs, our security director, went running when it happened.
Is that right?
To break it up or something.
Oh, brother. Was that interview with Dante the best footage of him at Media Day we could find? I agree with Tom. He's the best Patriots soundbite source I've ever seen. He didn't say anything funny.
Yeah, well, everyone cut out what happened. When ESPN keep showing the thing where Randy Moss said the, you know, who's the fast, I'd have to say Randy
Moss. Right,
the
right.
Funny part of that is it's Dante Stallworth asking him the question. That was the whole thing. I mean, and he came running up. He was on the steps, and he said, you know, you telling lies again? And that's what I was asking you, Fred, about ESPN's coverage. They didn't show that. It was a whole exchange between the receivers. It was kind of a funny thing. I thought they would show it.
Well, then
I would have been on TV. But
Nick says
always about Tom.
It is.
Nick says the same thing. He says ESPN's coverage sucked. Did Wes get up there? Did Asante? Was Rosie around? It makes me sad to think about Media Day without Rosie.
Well, my parents said they
didn't
saw,
see Rosie.
My parents said they saw more on the local news than ESPN. It's because the local news showed a lot more with the girl with the wedding dress and the fortune. ESPN just briefly showed them for a second, and that was it.
Yeah,
they were
I
too busy showing NBA highlights. Or
I don't know. I don't know what ESPN's deal is, but I can understand the local news is because that's ESPN, and they do this every year. The local news is when their team is in it. That's
different.
Chris Collins, that was the whole thing for the Neckin show before Tom and Andy last night was Media Day and every question and all the stuff with the sports. That,
but don't you think
it's
the Super Bowl week? Like, this is what people want to see.
Oh, yeah. That's why I said I don't know what ESPN is doing. I don't know why they're not
You think it has anything
this.
To do with NFL Network?
That's what I asked
Well, that's what
you,
I asked
Fred.
You at lunch.
Yeah.
If there
well,
was
why would
exclu-
it? You give up. You say, oh, well, they got more access. We'll just pack it in.
No, but if they if there's some sort of contractual exclusivity in terms of the live stuff that
they
show.
I think Tom's also talking about like SportsCenter, right? Like just showing Media Day,
they didn't
dedicating
really
20
anything.
Minutes to it.
Yeah, it's
they can't
yeah,
stop.
I don't,
that's
I don't
the,
know.
They're part of the media. You can't say they can't do it.
I agree.
And
I
Fred,
know.
Do you think, I mean, the NFL Network is a force for the fans that haven't been down here. I mean, every press conference you go to, they got about 30 people there with microphones. Yep. Like 5, 10 years from now, they're going to have the games, right? ESPN's out, you think? Like, they're going to move everything.
Oh, no, I don't think so.
You don't think so?
No.
When more people start getting the same amount of money
selling advertising as they do with these deals.
Oh, okay. I just figured they'll try to take over everything NFL-wise.
I don't think so. But, you know, we'll see. I don't know what direction they're thinking
of going.
Fred's
not big on the new media.
No, I am, but I just don't think that it would be smart to take it off.
But they have taken – so, like, that's interesting. Why did they decide to take what they have so far?
So they wanted some games.
What's the end game? What's the plan?
They want to increase the value of the network so that, you know, people will subscribe to it and cable carriers will carry it.
Without games, the network was useless.
So they just have enough games to whet the appetite so people want
to get
the network.
Right, to make it of value.
It's a tease.
Yeah. You know, meanwhile,
you have 3 weeks of games.
You're trying to create that revenue for now, and then, you know, as you get more revenue, then you can create more content. Then you don't become so dependent on having the games. You can have better content. You know, but they're trying to grow fast, but at the same time, not just put junk up there.
Now, I've noticed, I think it was MLB TV has now sort of pulled back, and they've partnered, like, TBS or TNT is going to produce everything. They're now basically a sister station. Mm. Does that mean it wasn't working, and is there a chance the NFL network doesn't work?
There could be a chance, but
okay, good.
You know, I think the NFL is much more powerful than Major League Baseball.
Of course you do.
I do. Tom has to fight with Paul for my favorite personality on radio, not on TV. Sorry, Paul, but it's like looking at the sun. Since he actually knows my last name, good for you, Paul.
Who's this?
That's Nick from
San Diego, Nick Blaisdell.
Nick Blaisdell.
I've never heard of Nick.
This is from Matt.
We used to call him Nick from South Dakota all the time because he always writes Nick in SD.
Oh, I'd like to hear your theory on the reporting in San Diego because every reporter I see from San Diego is about 82 years old.
Well, that one guy that was on the radio with you guys, that Nick Canepa, whatever his name is, he looks like he could kill over any man.
Plus, he's shaped like an S. His head goes one way, his hips the other, his legs the other. Hope he doesn't have anything wrong with him. I'll feel bad.
That's a lot of directions.
Matt Cox writes in. He says, hey, fellas, I just have to say that yesterday's show was the best I've ever heard in my 2 years as a faithful PFW in Progress listener. Of course, that's probably because you had so much to talk about and several outstanding guests, but no harm in giving yourselves a pat on the back. And how about that Jonathan Kraft? I have to admit that when I heard his voice and you guys all audibly sat up in your chairs, that I was nervous as hell. I just watched that CNBC special on the Krafts the other night, which showed them for their super classy, ultra-impressive business people that they are, and I kind of always figured that the shenanigans you guys pass off as radio had just been flying under the radar as far as they were concerned. Then Andy goes on to bring up Kelly Pickler's boobs, and I'm thinking that this will be the end of the show I've come to love. However, Jonathan joins right in and asks Fred if he's meeting Miss Nevada at the local Motel 6 after the show. I love it! He could be one of the PFW crew. Anyway, loving all the hype as well as all the excellent real coverage you guys and all of Patriots.com staff is putting out. I feel like I'm down there, and it's going to make watching the game that much more meaningful. Keep up the great work. And by the way, what would you say is the over-under on Stallworth receptions on Sunday?
3.
Somebody's got a prop out there.
3's good number.
Yeah. 3, though, but when will they happen?
In the game.
Oh, okay. I think he's going to get 1 in the third quarter and 2 in the fourth.
Okay. Good.
All right.
So would you go 2.5 or 3.5? Because obviously it would be
3.5.
3.5.
And I'll take the under.
You'll take the under?
Yeah.
I'll go with the over. Just for
Randy Moss getting them all.
Poops and giggles.
MVP of Super Bowl 42. Randall Moss.
Getting them all?
Is his name Randall?
I don't know.
His name Randy? Named Randall?
I think on that... Legal document.
That's on court papers. It says Randy.
Dave,
we got those to go by.
Dave in Storrs, Connecticut. Hope all is well in Glendale. Wow, with that photo with Kelly Pickler. Oh, now that photo with Kelly Pickler was something. Andy has the look of a kid in a candy store, and Paul is standing in the background inconspicuously with a Chuck E. Cheese smile on his face. It's very creepy. Anyway,
yes, it is.
As the week has progressed, how are you guys feeling about the team's confidence? They sure as heck look confident to me, and with the way Brady has not hidden anything about his injury status and wore low-cut Nike socks today, showing no swelling, I feel confident the only thing stopping the Pats from a win would be themselves. What do you think?
I agree.
I really
100%.
I really agree with all of that. I think that this team is very loose, Fred. Very loose. I talked to a number of them today and mentioned that after regular questions. Since you guys seem so light and loose, and they're all look, we've all most of us have been through it. We understand how this works. Wednesday, now it's time to get down to work. We understand. I think they understand not only what they're going through, but they know what's about to happen. And I think that's, I know Bill's downplayed the whole experience thing, but I don't think you can overlook it. I think it's important.
No, it's like us. I mean, experience, you kind of know what to expect. It makes it easier. You don't have any fears or questions. It's, what's laid out in front of you. By the way, you should mention Stephen Neal updated his facial hair again.
Oh, God.
He shaved it? He shaved like under the chin and neck. And it was this weird, what'd you call them, lamb chops or something? Ham
mutton
hocks.
Chops.
Mutton chops.
Ham hocks.
What's a ham hock?
I don't know.
That's
but now it's just this huge mustache that looks like it's from the Wyatt Earp days and the OK Corral. Isn't that out here somewhere?
It's probably in this area, yeah.
I think it is. Tombstone's out here.
Right.
Oh, we
should
go.
That's correct.
That's in Arizona?
Yeah.
Wow.
So.
Yeah. Okay.
Boy, that spiraled out of control in my own mind.
Not the first time.
Let's see. And James from the UK writes in. This is the guy who has the MySpace.
Jimmy, and our friend list is just growing now that players have caught on.
Have you noticed the great difference between how the Giants and Patriots players handle the media? The Patriots players look almost bored when they're in front of the camera, and the Giants players seem to be enjoying every single second of it. Now, I'm not saying there's anything wrong with that, but do you think that the Giants players are using too much of the energy acting like giddy schoolgirls?
Well, then Brady's not going to play well because he was as giddy as any schoolgirl.
Yeah, I think they're about the same.
Yeah. Yes, they're both loose.
Both
they're both having fun.
Yeah.
I don't think the media pressure has not gotten to either side yet.
I do. Yeah. I agree with you guys.
We didn't see every game this year, but would you agree that the best game we saw was the Giant-Patriot game?
Probably, yeah.
And, I mean, just played-wise. I thought both teams
either
played.
That or Indy,
Yeah.
And those are the two that stick out to me, because I thought the other close
part
games,
of me
the Patriots was were
right, but
really
part
bad.
Of me thinks that Indy and the Patriots weren't completely on that day. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, I
think
do
if
agree
they're
with,
on, they
I
score
agree.
More points.
I agree wholeheartedly with you on
so,
that.
So I think both teams are quite confident because they both played well. I know Harrison said the defense didn't, and I know the Giants' defense is saying they need to play better. But overall, I thought the game was played very well, and I think both teams are confident because of that. And, hopefully we'll get another good game this time around.
I don't. I want a one-sided blowout.
But I'd like to see a good game.
I want it over in by the halftime.
It will be, Fred.
So I can enjoy the game.
Okay, I'll enjoy it if it's a good game
win. I know that you have your little shtick. Do you really feel like that, though?
Your little shtick.
What?
I mean, yes, he does.
You'd rather
he
win
does.
A blowout than win a close game?
Oh, yeah.
Best game I ever saw, 52-17, Cowboys over the Bills. Only problem was Leon Lett getting stopped at the one.
Yeah, I want to enjoy this game. I don't want to have to, at the end of the game,
But I'm saying that you
just
know. Let's play Fantasyland. You know that you're going to win.
Well, we don't.
Demolition.
That's the point of a close game.
But
you don't know.
You want demolition, Fred.
Really?
I want utter destruction.
I
agree.
I want the world to be in fear. I want to go back
every
to my raping
Patriots,
and pillaging
every
days.
Time the Patriots score,
now,
it's better.
If you're going to make the argument that, a blowout would, enhance their spot in history, and so you could say 19-0, and look what they did in the Super
that
Bowl.
That too.
Then that makes sense. I think that's part of it. But for the pure drama of watching your team win it,
I'm not looking for drama. I'm looking for a win.
I'm
a fan of the Patriots. I want to win.
Some people watch sports for the entertainment.
I know.
I don't know. Go figure.
If you're just a sportsman and you're not
but I'm not just. I'm saying they're going to win.
Sportsman.
But you don't know they're going to win.
But I'm saying, if you knew they were going to win, would you rather it be a close game or a blowout?
If you could guarantee. But then it's not dramatic. So you're defeating the purpose of a dramatic game if you know they're going to win.
Is this guy unbelievable?
Well, you can't have both.
Okay.
You can't have drama if you know the outcome.
I'm saying the Carolina game and the St. Louis game were better than the Philadelphia game. For
right,
me.
But I didn't know they were going to win any of those.
No, I know. And I'm telling you that I thought the Carolina game and the St. Louis game, because they went down to the last play,
they're more
were
memorable
than the Philadelphia game, which, even though it was a three-point game, wasn't really a three-point game.
In terms of the story, and of course those are better games, but in terms of being a fan, I want utter destruction. I want a one-sided game. I want people carted off the field.
I agree with you.
I want sad Giants fans crying. I want, I want it all. I just want to destroy them. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you.
Matt.
See, he did clean it up because he didn't use the rape and pillage.
No, he did. You just were talking at the time.
Yeah.
He got it in there.
Matt, I missed it.
Matt from Quincy, it's nice to know that I'll have better seats than Andy and Tom for the game.
Yes, you will.
I'm not sure who to ask, so I guess I'll ask you guys. I know there are a lot of restrictions on what you can and cannot bring into the stadium. Specifically,
nothing.
I want to know if I can bring in a fanny pack. I know that sounds like Eric Scalavino.
Yeah,
to carry a few things.
That's embarrassing.
I will have. I know that you can't bring in any other type of bag. Could you
wear
guys
pants?
Put something in the blog about restrictions and whatnot for the game day. I think it would be very helpful.
Yeah, I would be helpful if you didn't draft like a
Do you have a ticket? Because I would guess that on the back of the ticket, that kind
of
stuff.
Of course, he's got a ticket. How's he going to get in the game?
Does he actually have it with him now?
But I don't.
I should say, Matt, you do not have a better seat than Chris Ferreira, our webmaster, who will be in the press box
doing
nothing while Andy Hart is sitting up with me.
Maybe Mike Reese will probably write all the restrictions and stuff.
Probably
game day.
He usually writes boring stuff.
Helpful things, you know.
That's good. That's a good call by you, friend.
Yeah. Let's go, Pat.
So go read Reese.
Leave Patriots.com now.
G-Man from Pennsylvania just wanted to say that I've been a long-time listener and really couldn't get through the day without PFW in progress. The Super Bowl could not get here any sooner. As much as I love Tom Petty, I think you douche canoes should be the halftime show.
Me too.
Oh, yeah.
I'll even rip Paul's shirt off and show his teats.
Oh. That's
what?
Yeah.
Why are you blowing me up?
All right.
Disgusting.
That's right. Thank
there you.
I know. His breasts are gross. They're huge and hairy.
That's damn.
Apparently you've seen them.
Now, how would you know if that's
by the
hairy
pool last time we were here?
God almighty. Who was that? See, you got people just walking by laughing at you now.
Lawrence in Ireland. Guys, I've been thinking about Brady's injury.
Drunk.
Do you think that it could cause the Giants to blitz more to try to get his ankle?
Yes.
And could this result in blown coverages and touchdowns for the Pats? If Randy ends up one-on-one with a safety again, it could get real ugly. And who's a better kicker, Steven Guskowski or Lawrence Tynes?
Guskowski.
Tynes stinks.
I think they should blitz, but they have to be timely blitzes. I don't think you should be Buddy Ryan and come out and say, here we come, because Brady will pick you apart. I think Paul's in my camp that when it's third and long, you got to send pressure against the Patriots and make Brady get rid of the ball quickly, because how many times have we been up in the press box and we've all seen third and 12 and Brady's got all day in the pocket? To me, that's the time you got to at least flush him out and make him get rid of the ball to Kevin Falk and come up and make a tackle.
Yeah.
Fred, are you okay if Giant fans were advocating like twisting Brady's ankle?
Giants fans?
Yeah.
No.
So you just said you wanted guys carted off the field.
That's what I wanted to do. I wanted you to contradict yourself.
Only because you're just hitting so hard, not because you're targeting a guy.
So if the shoe was on the other foot and it was against Peyton Manning and he had a known injury, you wouldn't advocate Patriots
Never.
Players? Yes, you would.
Never.
You're a fraud.
Never.
You can't even be honest, and that's embarrassing.
Never.
You see the look on his face.
Never.
But that's
fraud.
Me.
I would.
You would?
No, I don't.
You would advocate that?
I don't advocate.
So why are you better
guys
than me?
I didn't say anything. What,
where did that come from?
How did I say I was better than you?
You liar.
Right. Well, I would do it, but I
didn't say. How did I say I was better than you?
You're with him. The two of you.
No, I'm not.
I'm nothing like Paul. Don't ever say that.
Thank you very much. Don't ever say
Puck
that.
Puck from Laconia, New Hampshire. Is
Puck?
It true that Eric's nose arrived in Arizona 2 minutes before his arms?
Yeah, with Tom's.
Yeah, he beat me by a hair.
You guys shave his nostrils.
You guys should lay off the HGH. I saw your pics on the MySpace page and thought, oh, my God, you poor bastards. You guys are a hoot. Wow.
A hoot?
What's going on? We got a cocktail party going on behind us over there?
A little bit.
And is there anyone back there who can fire me, Fred?
I don't know. No, probably
not
everyone.
Not that I've seen, but you never know.
Just tell them to shut the hell up. Jesus. I love people who have, respect for others. And it may not look like much, but this is a freaking radio show.
Certainly doesn't look like much.
Where's
Gary today?
Doesn't sound like
he's
much either.
He comes by yesterday, brings us guests, and now he just disappears for hours at a time.
He's busy.
Doing what?
I don't know.
What does he do except walk around with that gray folder that says, like, arrival day on it or something?
Adrian from Amherst says, excellent show. I saw Randy Moss's press conference today, especially about Green Bay. I kind of disagree that Randy Moss only wanted to be the number one receiver. He did say that Green Bay told him that Donald Driver was number one and don't step on his toe, etc.
After that, he said he hung up.
But then he said it sounded like Green Bay didn't really want him. They said, we'll give you a shot, but don't rock the boat. He said it sounded like Brett Favre wanted him, but not the organization.
He wasn't willing to play within their rules.
That was his his version of not them not wanting me is they weren't willing to make me the number one receiver,
right,
based on
the way he said
the
it.
The way he said it today.
Well, yeah.
Now, I guess we'd have to
Fred's
ask him.
Formulating a response.
No, I guess we'd have to ask him to know for sure. You'd have to ask him to clarify what made him think that Green Bay didn't want it.
Right.
And he did that.
Yeah,
so
exactly.
We're all speculating.
Randy sounds like he wanted to feel wanted by the organization. New England conveyed that desire.
They called him.
They called him. They wanted him, and he hung up. Coming from Brady, Pioli, Belichick, and Kraft, evidently Green Bay came up short on that end.
And it also, he didn't say this, so I want to say that first of all. He started to talk about money. Maneuverings, and it sounded like maybe they were going to want it to go even lower than what the Patriots did. So there might have been a financial issue there as well. Because while we say that he took less, he ended up with pretty good money here this year for 1 year.
And he
deal.
Ended up with $5 million more than he would have gotten.
Right.
Because he was getting nothing.
And it's he sort of started to talk about money, which led me to believe maybe they were looking to go lower on the dollar figure.
Okay. Mata from Georgia.
Hello, Mata.
Hey, strippers, by the way, we need some clarification on the caliber of the place that you sent us from yesterday.
Yeah, we heard it sucked.
We're having conflicting reports for people who've been there. We need a scouting report.
Mata has real issues with Eric asking Andre about whether or not he felt uneasy about getting out there and having to press the flesh.
Because Eric loves to press flesh.
He says, why would you say that? For an intelligent guy, you don't think, don't you, about hurting yourself. And he has a gay uncle that lives in Arizona. He's going to hook him up.
Just so you know, dude. Calling him intelligent isn't necessarily accurate. He thinks he's intelligent.
He'll call himself intelligent.
Right.
Just ask him.
Right.
Also, he says, when Jonathan Kraft was on yesterday, he mentioned how hectic it was for the Patriots organization when they played the Packers. Since the Pats have so much more experience in recent history, how much of an edge do you give the Pats over the Giants?
An edge.
Significant, I think. I think that's important.
Now, but the Giants organization, as far as the top end, is still the same as it was when they played.
Well,
no.
In 2000.
New GM.
They died, didn't they?
They've died. I mean, the owners died.
They died. They have a new GM.
That's true. I mean, the Suns were there.
A new head coach.
Yeah, that's why, you know, yes,
new quarterback. Well, Strahan's still there.
Right. Forget about
there's
the
a
team.
Lot of differences.
I'm not talking about the players.
The team is almost all different.
No, but if there's a new general manager and there's new somewhat ownership with the parents passing on,
right,
you got to think there's some new members of
the
organization.
I think the point that Jonathan, it really, forget about the GM, Ernie Accorsi, because he wasn't really involved in this stuff, the stuff that Jonathan was talking about. That's all, you know, the other people in the organization. I don't know. I don't know who those people were then, and I don't know who they are now. But the Suns are, it's the same families that are still running the team.
Yeah, but I don't know how much they did.
Yeah, I don't
either. Now, maybe they did a lot. Maybe it's like Jonathan. Maybe, you know, maybe, is it Tim Mara?
Yeah.
He's the son, right?
Yeah.
He's the one that's in charge now. Maybe he was like Jonathan back
then,
and he did it all. I don't know.
That's what I'm kind of thinking, but I don't know. You know,
either way, the experience edge goes to the Patriots.
Yeah.
Right.
On and off the field.
Significant.
Every aspect of being in the Super Bowl goes to the Patriots in terms of experience.
Doug and Blackstone, guys, if Andre doesn't go into the Hall of Fame this year, then they should close the place. I grew up watching Tippett play, and he was an animal. If LT wasn't taking all the highlights back then, Andre would have been in the Hall already. LT was the best and deserved all his fame, but Tippett left it all in the field. And who was that loser that asked Robert Kraft about finally allowing the people who know football to take over the decision-making so the team could have success? One more thing. Was that the leg next to Freddie in the pick for the PFW replay? What a break on him. He could find truffles with that thing. A beak on him. Oh,
what a break on him.
A beak on him. Thought I was on the Seahawks website.
So did someone ask Robert Kraft?
I guess. I didn't see that.
Oh.
Yeah.
I didn't either.
You weren't involved in that at all?
He was up in the stands.
Yeah. We were down with the players. Although I was thinking with an email, maybe a good story for tomorrow for the web, but I'll ask the Giants about the experience thing.
Yeah.
Like what they think. You know, there's no way you can avoid it. The Patriots have more experience. How's that going to affect you and like the whole thing with the tickets and the families and everything?
My guess is you'll get some. Once the ball's kicked off, it's a football game, and we're both on the same playing field.
No, I just ask Ruben Drones.
You need some water?
I'm just, I'm sick.
You got the Propel right there.
It's gone.
You got the Propel. And a water.
I'm questionable for Sunday.
Really?
Oh. Questionable for Wednesday.
Chris from the Bronx, are you going to like come up with some reason why now I have to go to the NFL to get you your own seat in the press box? You're going to snore out in the stands?
I didn't think of that, but I'll come up with something.
They're going to ask him to shut the hell up.
Let's see. Chris from the Bronx, glad to hear Andy Hart got the yearbook photo treatment for his MySpace picture.
Yeah, unbelievable.
That is just talk about vain.
Utter embarrassment.
He makes fun of other people. Yeah. That's the thing.
I love the thing.
For a guy who throws stones,
he didn't do it. You know, somehow Mora stole the picture from his house.
She took the picture. She was the one with the camera.
All right, when's Mora coming?
Sunday. She's not coming, is she?
Well, when we talk to Mora, we'll get to the bottom of this.
You can.
Boy, that day trip's tough on this trip.
Oh, yeah.
That day trip is tough.
They're not going home till like 4 in the morning or something like that? 6 in the morning.
But basically, in a span of 24 hours, you're traveling for 12 of them.
Well, you just got to sleep on the plane. That's all. Take a nap. To answer Tom's question,
it'll be fine.
No, I don't read Scoop Jackson. I think I did once, and that was enough. However, I was wondering if you'd gotten a chance to read Tom Curran's article on 16 reasons why the Patriots will win. While I don't agree with
some of the analysis...
Where did he come up with 16, though?
What caught my eye was that the Patriots scored 38 despite the Giants' solid defensive effort. And what do you think of New England's focus and whether or not the pressure rides on them? It seems that, from a New York perspective, the Giants now have some pressure on them as well. Watching the news here, many reporters seem to expect the upset to happen.
Well, the one thing I'll say about the Giants' defense is kind of reminds me of the Chargers, where they need to get turnovers and sacks because Dallas, even in the game that they didn't play well in the playoffs, moved the ball on them and had chances, and they kept shooting themselves in the foot with penalties and turnovers. So I don't think any of us are expecting the Giants' defense to stop the Patriots. They're going to have to
50% third downs.
Yeah, they're going to have to make like interceptions in the red zone, fumbles, and things like that.
Frank in New York City. I'm a first-time emailer because I was never able to email due to my job. I take a lot of heat for liking the Patriots here in New York. I was just thinking about the draft, and I never heard. But what happens to the draft that was lost because of the draft pick that was lost because of Spygate?
I have not heard anything definitive on that.
I heard it's just 31 picks, right?
Well, there was speculation that the NFLPA might fight it.
Oh, is that right?
Because they're essentially losing a first-round contract.
Patriots probably get another top 10 draft pick out of this.
Is there precedent? Is there any other time? I think there was a time when there was only a team lost the pick and
when
they only
had
31. I forget.
I don't know. I don't really understand what the players' union's beef is because
I don't really.
I was always under the impression that you got slotted in by the draft.
So the 32nd slot, first pick of the second round, is still going to be paid
the
32nd slot.
Now the guy loses the status of being able to say he was a first round pick, but I don't think he's going to lose money.
I don't get it.
So I don't really understand that.
Let's see. Amy is very hurt.
She says
to
find out that Andy is touching
Andy.
Up.
I didn't touch.
You had
it
your
up.
Picture touched up. I'm hurt. How could you do that to me?
Oh, well, you're still the sexiest member of PFW. The others are just jealous.
Yeah. He's as hideous as the rest of us.
Oh,
there,
and she enclosed pictures for you, Amy.
Oh, nice. Forward those, Fred.
All right. Well, I'm not going to open them now.
Forward those to my email.
Saying he's
hopefully
the best
Dieter's
looking,
not listening.
Saying he's the best looking member of us is saying, nice like, me having diabetes is better than having cancer. I mean, come on.
Whose story was Wes has no regrets?
Me. What'd I do?
You misspelled similarities.
This is a shock.
Touching up his photo and stupid. Boy, what a catch, Amy.
I'd rather him spend more time touching up his stories.
Says the guy who had because.
I don't know what happened there. You must have been something wrong. Did you hit Control F5? Brandon.
Meriwether?
He says, I'm a student at the University of North Dakota. I've been a Pats fan for about 7 years, and I love the team.
I've been a Pats fan for about 7 years. Funny how that worked out. Yeah.
We've gone through the hard times.
I was going to say, you really weathered the storm.
Right, that 2002 season really hurt him.
I'm telling
you. Remember that bad Monty Beisel era?
Brandon, don't let him get to you. There's plenty of room on the bandwagon. I am from Minnesota, so it's nice having another team to root for that actually wins and has a future, unlike the Vikings, they call them. I usually download your shows later on in the day, so I don't know if you address this or not, but do you think that any of this new talk coming from the Giants is going to have an effect on the game?
No.
I know they say it doesn't really affect the outcome, but it seems like this new talk is something that the Pats...
What happened to vibrate?
It's something the Pats could
smiling on that
one. See, now I lost my could take as a challenge, like Burris saying they will only score 17 points, or Drone saying the defense goes out there just trying not to make a mistake and to not try to lose the game. Any effect?
None.
I totally lost what the question was because you stopped and started that email about seven times. But listen, I bet you if you put the Giants on a lie detector test, 99.9% of them don't think that the Patriots are going to score 17 points
right.
on Sunday. They know they're going to have to score some points to win.
Why isn't it an admission from Tom Brady that the Patriots are going to lose?
Yeah, because
the final score was 45-42. So he admitted Plaxico Burress and Tom Brady agreed. Giants win.
He admitted that Drones is right. Their defense stinks.
Right, like so, I mean, if you're going to take things for what they be all serious and break all this stuff down,
and that's the thing. This week has been very lighthearted.
Yes, yeah, so yeah. I haven't heard anything by either team that's been like malicious.
There's no
or like
venom,
the Eddie Mitchell
no.
or the Freddie right. Mitchell you thing know, that you
and
said.
And even though he was trying to be funny when
he
Freddie Mitchell
did
it, he didn't pull it off. First of all, he didn't have the status to pull it
right.
off.
Right, and his teammates didn't even like him.
His
right.
teammates
so.
Didn't like him, and it just came off as disrespectful. There hasn't really been any of that, going back and forth. Even with some of the things that, like the black suit thing, and it hasn't really been a disrespectful kind of thing. It's just been, kind of team warfare
motivation.
That kind of goes
yeah.
back and forth.
And Coughlin did say that he will take care of the thing with Burris privately.
Oh, that what was funny today? I saw Jim Mora. Got up at the press conference and asked Tom Coughlin a question. Were you there for
yeah.
that? And he said, Jim Mora, I was talking to Bill Belichick last night, Tom, and he wanted me to ask you what game plan you were going to use on defense to stop the Patriots, which I think is funny. But I was wondering if Jim Mora.
Dan did it.
If Jim Mora got up in front of Bill Belichick, would you think Belichick would answer a question?
Yeah.
Well, he would say, well,
oh,
how
I thought
games you win.
I right. thought maybe Mora asked Belichick like a question, and he did his, I don't know, you'll have to ask them. That's maybe what I thought happened. Then he said that's why when I was there, that's what I thought happened, that he was here and said, Bill, what do you think
I
the Giants,
I don't know,
you'd have to ask them.
I didn't see him here, and I was at Belichick's
oh, okay.
conference.
By the way,
him.
The new Bill will probably answer it and make a joke and have a big laugh fest with Jim
Well, Moore. He would probably talk about the wide tackle six
right.
or something.
Right. Lord only knows where he'd go.
Craig from Boxborough, Tombstone sucks, Andy. It's boring and stupid, surrounded by desert. I went there as a kid, so it might have changed, but I figured the experience
the
is best viewed from an immature perspective, since it is Andy who was interested. Okay.
Watch all the, I really know about Tombstone is yeah. I love the movie.
Watch the movie.
So that's the only reason
yeah,
I brought it up.
Yeah, but that's the movie.
It's just a ghost town.
No, I know.
Yeah.
I wasn't really planning on going.
You seemed awful excited about it.
No.
Sandeep from Herndon, Virginia. Scoop Jackson is a combination of Stu Booyah Scott plus Skip Bayless. He feels a need to keep reminding everyone that he is black. He thinks he is the greatest writer this side of Hemingway. He thinks he is entitled. He can't hold Jason Whitlock's jockstrap as a writer, let
Can
alone more accomplished writers. In fact, Jason Whitlock has a memorable war of words with Scoop not so long ago. Whitlock really stuck it to Scoop, much to the delight of the masses. And one more note, if Belichick can have a press conference at 10 a.m. Eastern, you guys can have a radio show at 12 noon. That way you can have the rest of the day off to get smashed. I really appreciate what you're doing, but this new time is messing with my schedule.
Well, the reason we're doing this is because the Giants are after...
Right.
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 And the other day, the media day was at 10. And, I mean, we have different schedules all week long.
Yeah.
Fridays at
this,
the media
This was the day we knew we could keep at the same time every day.
Right.
So we're doing it for you.
As we always
Can't
do.
Can't make anybody happy around
no.
here.
Who's that, Sandeep?
Anthony in North Carolina.
He's a cranky sort, that Sandeep.
Says Randy Moss was born Randall Gene Moss.
Randall
G. Moss.
What's up, G?
And strippers also tells us the same thing.
I was going to say, strippers must be coming in with some kind of information.
David says, I agree with Tom and Fred. Demolition, a blowout would truly cement the dominance of this team, and nobody could make any excuses from another team. I want terror.
Fred Kirsch, I'm going to answer a different question from the argument.
I didn't. That was somebody emailing
no,
in.
No. I'm saying they used your theory when you in the middle of an argument, you just answer a different question. We'd all agree that winning in a blowout would enhance their performance. I'm asking, in a vacuum, would you rather win a close game or a blowout? Has nothing to do with your place in history. That's a different
argument.
As
a sports person, I'd rather watch a close game than a blowout. But having a vested interest, I want a blowout.
See, having a vested interest in my team, I'd rather watch my team win a close game than win a blowout.
I just don't understand.
More entertaining.
That. But I'm not there. I'm there to win. I'm not
right.
there to be
so
entertained.
So I'd rather win. Get that. Win a close
game. We play to win the game.
I'm not saying I'd rather lose a close game than win a blowout. That's stupid.
I like demolition too, Fred.
Yeah. Me too.
That's stupid. Winning, rather win a lose a close game than winning in a blowout.
Seeing that I don't actually root for the Patriots, I'm hoping for a close game.
Well, I don't understand why this obsession with close games. You don't get up on your feet and cheer anyway, so what's the difference? let's see. Callie Girl writes in. She says, In and Out. We're talking about hamburger joints. She says, In and Out.
I'll give you In and Out.
Got nothing to do with a hamburger.
Is only the best burger place in the West Coast with the most extensive secret menu ever.
Secret?
Yeah. She says, Try some of these. Animal style fries or burger animal style. Animal style is basically a tray of fries with this special mystery sauce and cheese.
Tom's not big on mystery
sauces. Same as the burger. Basically, a heart attack on a tray.
In and out and animal style.
Yeah, they
and do it secret, like they do on the Discovery Channel.
What? They have a 3x3 burger, a 4x4 burger, a 5x5 burger, which is the
this
number
is
of patties.
Littered with sexual innuendos.
I'll give her five.
And they have a burger protein style, which is Tom's kind of burger, wrapped in lettuce and minus the bun.
See, I mean, you could just dissect that whole.
You really could. I think she does it intentionally.
But In-N-Out, where's that?
I don't.
They have a they have Jack in the Box down here. I haven't been in with Jack in the Box in like 30 years.
They don't
years.
Have those in the East Coast anymore.
No. I've never been to any of them.
And
places.
Sonic. They don't have Sonic up where our end either.
Nope, never been to any of them.
I've never been to Sonic or In-N-Out, but I have been to a Jack in the Box.
Let's see. Who's Pat Sox? Oh, that's Chris in L.A., right? I mean, John in L.A.
Why are you giving out his email?
That's John in L.A. He says, based on words used on Tuesday's show, rearrange as you see fit. Pickler, Hunter, Pickle, Eric, and Andy. Get to work.
What?
He said it's a juvenile Eric the Joke Kit.
Eric the what?
Eric Joke Kit.
Oh, okay.
So you rearrange those numbers.
Well, can I just remove Eric and Pickle and put Andy with Pickler?
Yeah. If you send emails that make us stop and think, then we have dead air.
Which for Fred is a normal email. Who's this now?
Lawrence writes in.
Although he will give out your phone number.
If the Pats go 19
say AOL address. Pats what?
If the Pats go 19-0, will the obsession for teams to finally beat the Pats carry over to next season? And what do you think the reaction will be like?
Yeah, I think so. I think they're in for a real tough season next year because all offseason I think teams are going to be dissecting them, breaking them down, and they're going to have the target on their back every week just like they had this year. It's going to be tough for them next year, I think. Regardless. And I'm not saying they're going to have a bad year or anything like that. I'm just saying it's going to be tough because you went through this big emotional season this year, and then basically, like he's saying, you got to come right back and do it again.
And by the way, Miami was able to do it again.
Mm-hmm.
Well, they lost two games, and they won another Super Bowl.
All right. Hey, we've got some real talent here coming up. We have the voices of the Patriots, Gil Santos and Gino Capelli.
I don't see Gil Santos anywhere.
Oh, Roger. I just saw the legs. I thought it was Gil. Thank you. What does that mean?
What a compliment.
Gino, how you doing?
Hey, Freddie.
We had a lot of people asking for you last night at the Arizona Patriots fan club. Because they've been fans since you were playing. They're like, oh, can you get Gino to come by? They're having a big party Saturday night. So,
did they have the right Capoletti and the right Gino?
Oh, yeah.
I never played in Arizona.
But they're Patriots fans. They've been
Patriots fans.
They've been
they live here.
They live here. They're all transplanted, New Englanders.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Okay, that's nice. So, I know because Minnesotans, where I'm from, naturally.
Right.
I have to bring that up because I'm true to my
My
home state. I have come to Arizona for wintertime sunshine and residence, whereas a lot of people on the East Coast go to Florida.
Right.
So Minnesotans come out here to Arizona, and I've got to look up a few here since I've been here.
Okay, yeah, they really wanted to see you. So the invitation's out if you're not doing anything Thursday night. The Vine Tavern and Eatery in Phoenix. That's where they're having a huge rally.
Is it Thursday or Saturday?
Thursday. Did I say Saturday?
Yeah, first time.
Thursday night. Thursday.
And how is Gil?
Now
Gil
has Gil. This Gil Santos.
I'm gonna.
So how's it been so far for you down here, Gino?
Well, it's just been, you know, what it, It is what it is. Have you ever heard that?
I've heard that before.
And you guys hit the links yet?
Yes, Roger Holman and myself went out yesterday and hit the links out here in the back.
Yeah, I played these.
And we found out the links hit back.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah. I wouldn't play with a gun at my head.
No?
Hate golf.
You hate golf?
Hate golf.
A nice
despise
walk
it.
Ruined.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. I can get very angry and aggravated for free.
Right.
I don't have to pay right.
I gave up the game myself. Oh. It's just if you don't do it a lot, then it's not worth doing.
Well, I've... keep trying to reinvent the golf swing, so I mean that's kind of interesting.
I'll bet you you're a pretty good player. I play with you. Yeah.
You know I have that reputation, yeah. And I just can't live up to it.
Well, then stop telling people how good you are.
The fact that I play a lot and have played a lot, people just assume that I'm a good golfer.
Yeah.
But I can't back that up.
So, you know, I have to ask you guys. You know, obviously we don't like to think ahead, and you know it's taboo to. You know, what if, but when you go into a game like this where history could really be made, do you think about what am I going to say if?
No.
No?
No.
You don't?
No, we were asked that earlier by Steve Burton for a TV piece, and we both, not surprisingly, ended up saying the same thing. Don't plan it, just let the emotion carry the moment.
Right.
So that what you feel is what you're saying.
Yeah.
And that's the, to me, the only way to do it. If you prearrange what you're going to say, then it sounds phony. It sounds contrived.
Right.
Just pour your heart out. You know. And
can you tell when announcers, like during big moments, throughout the years, have you been able to tell that hey, that was pre-contrived when they've done it?
When others have done it, yes.
Yeah.
Yes, definitely. Yeah.
Is there any examples?
Me. Yeah.
Big examples of famous ones. What about the Al Michaels one? Was that? Do you think that was?
Do you believe in miracles?
Yeah,
I think that was spontaneous.
Yeah, I do too. Yeah, I think that was spontaneous. You know, but you hear something like, Sterling does. You know, the Yankees win.
Yes.
That's contrived.
Right. Right.
I mean, who would normally, in the course of a conversation or reporting, say that? So, no, it's got to come. On whatever your moment, emotion you're feeling at that moment, so that it comes from the heart.
So I would always be speechless. I wouldn't say anything. I'd be dumbfounded. I wouldn't know what to say.
I like to say that the game really dictates what we're going to say and how we say it, because of the emotions will be how we say it. The game itself, the play, the failures, the successes will dictate how we say it.
With that in mind, we've been having a debate here today. Do you guys care whether it's a blowout, which would sort of emphasize the dominance of the season,
yes.
You know, a 45-10 win.
That's what I'd like.
You'd
Thank
rather
you.
Have that than Thank the you. Than the field goal call, maybe of 2001, something of that nature?
Yes, I would rather, you know, I like to call it, that's not contrived, but I've said it a couple of times in the past where Brady is taking a knee at the end of a 38-7 win, and I will say that's my favorite play.
Yeah.
You know, watch our quarterback taking his knee at the end of the game, which means... It's in the bag.
Yeah.
So, I would rather see a blowout.
Well, if their performance and their team is defined in that game as a superior team, then, I'm all for it. Because if they are that good and that much better than some of the rest of the teams in the National Football League, which they are, but if you're looking at the teams who maybe have creeped up around the top anyway, but if the Patriots are that much better than them and it should be a blowout.
Yeah.
Do you guys have a favorite moment from this past season?
Yeah, that's been asked. Was asked by Steve today, and I had two that I recall that immediately jumped to mind. The first one was the opening drive, opening game of the season at the Jets, 11 plays, 91 yards, touchdown. I remember it so vividly because I'm thinking to myself, these guys are as good as I thought they were going to be. Because in the game at Charlotte, third exhibition game, at halftime, and we hadn't even seen Randy Moss play yet. Haven't even seen him. We're talking to him at practice earlier and talking among each other. And I said, you know, these guys have a chance to be scary good. As a matter of fact, they are scary good. If nobody gets hurt, they got a chance to really be special. So that opening drive just nailed down what I had thought this season could be like, and I think it clearly sent the message to the rest of the... I mean, it's opening day on the road against A team that knows you.
Right. Playoff
the coach
team.
Knows you. A team that was in the playoffs that you had to beat last year in the playoffs.
Yeah.
A team that people are saying going to challenge the Patriots, and you take the opening kickoff of the opening game with all that emotion and drive it down the field and score. That was very big. And the other one was the fact that when Brady threw the touchdown pass to Moss against the Giants, two National Football League records broken on one play.
Yeah.
Yep.
I thought. I thought, man, that's great. Two records broken on one.
Plus,
How often do you do that?
Right. I think the biggest sigh of relief from any Patriot, all the Patriots fans on that play, because he had just dropped one.
Yeah.
It was almost at least, if not a touchdown, to set up a touchdown.
Yeah.
And you're like, oh, my God, and they're behind. And they're not going to win this game now. How could? And then the next play, and it's like, oh, phew.
You know, so
they're going to win.
They're going to win the
right,
game.
Right.
And two NFL records are broken on one play in the span of seconds. And, yeah, those two stick out in my mind.
Well, I got one, too, and this happened during the Indianapolis game, which we all know was a critical game as to who won that game. Had a very big, good chance to get the home field for a playoff game, and that was going to loom large. And the Colts were ahead. Patriots were back following the kickoff at their 9-yard line. And Brady threw a pass to Randy Moss, who went up and made a spectacular catch, one hand. Mm. I don't know of anyone else who makes that play, because the ball really looked overthrown and how he got up there and got it. And that gave him 11 yards. Otherwise, it's going to be second down and at the 9-yard line. And now those next two downs are going to be so important, and it's so difficult when you got second and long and third and long.
Sure.
So that got them going, and they drove the distance and got a score out of it because of that spectacular catch.
Do you think that game was their best win this year?
I think at that point, yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, but, I think so.
Yeah.
Coming from behind against the defending Super Bowl champions on the road.
And it was so loud. I mean,
no one is ever going to convince me that they didn't enhance that sound. I was practically deaf, and I'm wearing earphones.
Yeah.
And I even said to Gina during one part of the day, I said, man, I've never heard it so loud in here.
Well, to me,
after I hear the stories, and I thought,
right,
that's why I never heard it so loud.
Well, to me, the button in front of Polian that said crowd noise, that came away from me.
I wish there was one that said eject.
Right. Oh. So, you know, what are you going to do for the rest of the week? Is this like a long week for you, or is it a busy week? How do you spend the time between now and Sunday?
Sometimes busy and sometimes not. Yeah. I mean, I'm on BZ three times a day.
Are you still doing the morning?
Well, no, I'm doing three Super Bowl-related hits a day,
okay. Right.
And then one on BCN every morning.
Okay.
And other than that, you know.
We're busy
doing crossword puzzles.
Doing crossword. And also figuring out where we're going to eat tonight,
tomorrow night, next time.
Any good steakhouses?
Yeah, well, we've got a Mastro's right down the street.
Capital Grill is down the street.
Yeah. Morton's is down the street.
Yeah. Well, those are, you know, ones that are known, but this is one is indigenous to this area.
Gill and Geno's.
Yeah, Gill and Geno's.
Gill and Geno's.
Home of great steaks.
Okay.
No, it's been a great week so far, and you can start to feel the crescendo starting to build now. You know, it doesn't happen on Monday, Tuesday, but right now it's starting, and this builds up to the great spectacle that the Super Bowl
tomorrow
is.
Will be the big day when everyone comes down.
Yeah, tomorrow it starts to become like a zoo.
Right.
Gino, can you believe what this has become? I mean, obviously you've basically seen the NFL in what it came from the beginning, the AFL to the NFL, and now this ridiculous worldwide phenomenon that is Super Bowl week and Super Bowl Sunday. Can you believe it's come from that to this?
Never. I was at Super Bowl number one. I went to the Coliseum, had a ticket given to me by Billy Sullivan, $15.
Oh, my God.
Not $700?
And I watched that game and, of course, was really pulling for Kansas City because we were very close to being representing the American Football League in that very first game. We lost on the last game of the year to the Jets, and then Buffalo squeaked ahead of us. They played Kansas City for their right to go to the Super Bowl. So we were just like one first down away, we like to say. But that game and viewing it and watching it and seeing some of the things that were happening around it really looked like a fabulous event at that time. And to see what it's come to now, I mean, it might be 25 times what it was then. But in answer to your question, the franchise and where it is right now, where it was, how it started, the adversities that took place in those early 60s, although we didn't know they were adversities at the time. You're pioneers in a new league and a new franchise. But I got to say that the Patriots never missed a payroll, and all the teams in the AFL couldn't say that,
is that right?
In the early 60s. Couldn't say that because we'd get on the field sometimes and we'd be talking to the Oilers or the Chargers or the Titans, and they'd say, you guys get paid last week? You know? And they want to know if we're getting paid. And they said, gee, I got to get over to your team over there. But the Patriots went through a lot. And it was, I'll tell you what, there's a guy that was very instrumental. He just passed away this past week, Mike Holovac, who was our coach. Mm-hmm. And he meant so much to the critical years of the franchise as to how we were representing the Patriots in the American Football League, and he had a lot to do with that.
You know, it's funny, you talk about guys saying, hey, did you get paid? Nowadays, these players have guys that they pay, you know, so they become their own corporations, you know.
That's right,
So now they're writing paychecks to people.
Yep.
It really is incredible. Well, I want to thank you guys for stopping by.
My pleasure.
You know, it's a piece of history, the both of you, you know, you've been a part of the history, and now you're going to broadcast what we hope will be history.
If they win the game, and I think we all agree that they will, we all will see something and have been a part of something, no matter how small the part, of something that may never happen again.
Mm-hmm.
It could.
Right.
I think the odds are phenomenally high that it would.
Yeah.
You know, we may see something that, if it is broken, will be long gone and hard to find.
Yeah.
But I don't think anybody could break that.
I get a sense around here that the atmosphere is such that this job is not finished.
Right.
No question.
This
Absolutely.
Job is not finished, and they got to finish it. And I think I recognize a certain focus, a certain concentration, a certain intensity around the whole situation that this has got to be finished, and the only way to finish it properly is by winning this game.
I think it was Junior Seau that said it, and I thought he put it best. He said, if we win this game, it's forever.
Yep.
And he's right.
Yeah.
You know, 18-1 is not.
Yeah.
19-0 is world champs. It's forever. I mean, they're still talking about the 72 Dolphins, and that was 36 years ago.
Oh, and I think Brady also said early in the week, he said, no matter whether you've been on this team for years or you're a first-year player, if we win this game, it's going to change your life.
Yeah. Oh, yes.
You know,
sure.
For the undrafted free agent.
Exactly.
It's going to, if you're part of this team, it's going to change your life.
He'll be identified forever.
Right.
With
and,
that
and
team.
That's the, you know, this is it, guys. It only comes if you win the game.
That's right. That's
you know?
It.
So people
only.
Will remember Fred Kirsch forever.
Yeah.
We'll never forget him.
Hopefully not.
Go, Fred. Go, Fred.
All right. Well,
thanks, fellas.
Yeah, good
thanks,
to be with
guys.
You. Good to be with you.
All right. Meet us again later in the week. Let us know.
Okay.
See you guys.
Well, that was a nice nice break to talk to Gil and Gino. It's good of them to stop by.
We should call this like Legends Hallway or something. We bring through legends every day. Andre Tippett, Jonathan Kraft, Paul Perillo.
I was going to say, thanks for welcoming me, Andy.
All right, well, that's going to do it for this edition of PFW in Progress. We will be here same time tomorrow, 4 o'clock Eastern, for another edition. Until then, see ya.